Thanksgiving, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on this Thanksgiving. We have obviously pre-taped this for you, but we got a lot to dive into. We're highlighting some of our very important interviews for you today, and we appreciate you being here. We're also thankful for our audience. As many of you guys know, it's been quite the uphill battle regarding the lawfare attempts to shut down InfoWars. And because of all of you at home, we are still on air and still able to broadcast because you have supported us. So we're very thankful, of course, for that. But I hope today, if you get the opportunity to go back and to enjoy Thanksgiving and enjoy some good Thanksgiving food, that you do just that. Let me just tell you how I prep my turkey. I think that's probably why you're all here in the first place. But there's a little secret to making an incredible turkey. As many of you guys probably know, turkey's not the most delicious item out there. Most say it's a little dry, but when I cook a turkey, I inject it with a lot of good stuff. I'm talking about wine. If you haven't done it already, you probably should do this for your next Thanksgiving dish. I will get myself a good, I don't know, it's a big size bird. And I will plump it up with white wine. You want to make sure no sulfates, of course. But inject that bird about a couple of hours before you put it in the oven. Prior, though, you're going to want to brine your turkey. I know I do with salt. I'm a big truffle girl, so it's usually black truffle salt. And then obviously all of your other seasonings, your onion powder, your garlic powder, your black pepper, paprika, and a little bit of, you know, white wine injected into that bird. And you will notice, especially after you stuff it, you will notice that this will probably be the juiciest turkey you've ever had. And just remember, Brianna was the one that told it to you. And if you don't like turkey, like most people, Jesse Kelly, I know Jesse Kelly, my good friend, who obviously hosts an incredible radio show. Jesse is not a fan of turkey and he's had enough of all of this. Jesse's always telling Americans to ditch the turkey, stop doing this. Nobody likes it. So if you're one of those, my other dish that I love to make on Thanksgiving is a rib roast. I talk about this all the time. The holidays is the best time to stock up on rib roasts. You could get a good sale usually around this time of year. This time actually in Easter, because Catholics love themselves a good rib roast. But I wanted to tell you about that too. Rib roasts are great. Right now, I believe if you're in Texas, Kroger's is a good one. It's good pricing. But listen here, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go pick yourself up a rib roast when you can. And I stuff mine with garlic. Obviously, I do stuff my meat with a lot. So this is going to be stuffed garlic. You're going to take a knife, you're going to make the little marks, and you're going to put the garlic in there. You're going to leave that overnight when you salt the outside of it too with a lot of, you could do whatever kind of coarse salt you like. And you leave it overnight to brine. Brining is key. It is key. I learned that from a lot of experts over the years. So you're going to brine your rib roast. And then you're going to season it the next day before you put it in the oven. And you slow cook it. It depends on how much you got. Okay? Don't ask me for time. But slow cook it on about like 300 degrees. Mine usually, I believe it's about 4 pounds usually. And it takes about 2.5 hours to get about medium rare. But you're going to need a thermometer for that. Don't take my word on it. But anyways, if you've done it all and you've done it properly and you also put water at the base of the tray, because obviously you're going to have this on a rack when you're cooking it, you've got yourself some great drippings that you could put on it, but only also, actually don't even put it on it. Save it. You could use that. When you cut off your bone, you make yourself a good French onion soup. Okay. That's my cooking seminar here for you guys today. We got a jam-packed program though heading over your way. Madison Cawthorn is one of the incredible interviews we did on this show. We're going to play it for you. We also have Chad Prather. I know that was a big one. A lot of you guys were really excited to see our interview with Prather. We're going to be re-airing that because Prather does a lot in regards to Christians holding the line when it comes to the House of Cards falling. And it was a great discussion we had with him. Also, Steve Baker. We're going to play that interview because Steve Baker did a great job at outlining the SIM card farms. If you haven't heard that interview, this is a great one. So stay put. We also have another great round of interviews coming your way with a couple of congressmen as well. So don't go anywhere. We've got plenty to discuss here on your Thanksgiving, and we look forward to doing just that.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle. We're the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip. Get 50% off. And you cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you, you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
Everyone, welcome to the American Journal. We are excited that you're all joining us today. A lot to discuss on this Thanksgiving. We're excited that you're with us, of course. We're going to be doing our best of segments throughout today's show. And so there's a lot that I want to make sure we dive into because we broke a lot of stories on the American Journal. And I'm excited to outline that for you today. But before we get into that, let me just remind you, over at the alexjonesstore.com, we have so many incredible items on sale right now. And we're kicking off, obviously, our Black Friday sales. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. Now, that's, of course, while supplies last. And every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, well, you enter to possibly win an awesome vehicle as well as cash, potentially. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And if that didn't win you over, let me just throw this one in there for you as well. You also are going to get 25% off all apparel. Now, again, that's only going to last for a couple more hours, so you got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. They have so many incredible hoodies that you might want to go check out right now. They make great Christmas gifts as well. I know because I just got some of my Christmas shopping done a little sooner, of course, because I plan ahead. I just grabbed, for myself at least, that Christmas sweater. It is great. It is the great way to bring it to, well, first off, wear it to your holiday get dinners, Christmas specifically. It's going to trigger those who are on the left in your family. I've got a couple of those. And my parents always say, my mom always says, don't talk about politics. Don't talk about politics when you're at dinner table. But I usually find that it's a great way to open up the discussion. And then me and my dad, will go after our, liberal relatives. So if you want to do the same and, you want to make everyone feel very uncomfortable at the dinner table, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever it is, you guys, head on over right now, alexjonesstore.com, and stock up the ugly Christmas sweater, but I think it's actually very good looking, so I don't think I'd flag that as an ugly Christmas sweater. Again, folks, that's the alexjonesstore.com. All right. I wanted to get into this Madison Cawthorn interview that we did earlier this year, because this one's important. You know, Madison, as many of you guys know, was kicked out of Congress, and it was really heartbreaking to see, because he was a fighter, pushing, obviously, the MAGA agenda, and he was somebody who was young and very outspoken, and it was very sad to see, but he's trying to fight his way back into Congress, and I was very excited to hear from members of his team that he was going to be running in Florida for Congress. Now, with Byron Donald running for governor, this opened up the seats, and now Madison Cawthorn is looking to take on that fight. And so we had him on the show, not only to just discuss the obvious, right? Like, what are you doing? How are you going to run? He's got that all. But we wanted to talk more so about election integrity. Because, folks, blue states have been piling up and trying their very best to take away our voices, American voices. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, with the census, they've been counting illegal aliens to try to extract as many House seats as they can and then taking that away from you all at home. So Madison Cawthorn joined me to kind of just blow the lid on how this is affecting Florida voters. Florida is obviously somewhere where they're having a lot of illegal aliens. They've done their best on a state level to try to get rid of and purge these people. But again, this has been a long, ongoing issue. Madison's going to walk us through what he's uncovered in regards to how the census operation is disenfranchising American voters. And that's an important one. Now, you might recall just a couple of days ago, President Trump did go to Truth Social and he did post that the election fraud issue is by far one of his top priorities. But the Republicans, both in the Senate and the House, have not echoed the same concerns. Now, again, this is deeply, deeply concerning. And here in the state of Texas, well, it's been a back and forth battle. They're trying to redraw the congressional maps here, and thankfully so. But most importantly, they are dealing with these left-wing hacks that are challenging that decision and doing their very best to stop Texas from counting fairly Texans' votes. See, they've been pushing back on all of this, and the courts have been hearing all of their cases. There was just recently that three-judge panel that did rule against Republicans because of, you know, maybe you heard his name, Greg Abbott, the guy who's supposed to be our governor. Well, he has not been doing much to further the Republican conservative agenda. And apparently he did instruct those who were drawing the congressional maps to go race-based, which is obviously not going to work out well with judges. And that is the reason why they ruled against Republicans. But this is an ongoing battle in Texas, and it's one that's ongoing in the state of Florida as well. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has pushed for this, and long story short, well, we're still waiting to see if the rhinos get in line. So I want you to take a listen to my interview with Cawthorn. Let's turn to this. I think this is important. I don't think a lot of people are talking about it, but I come from the state of Florida, and I was there front and center when I saw that the census, the 2020 census, was kind of stealing Florida residents' their voices. Ultimately, what was happening was blue states were counting individuals onto their census that shouldn't have been counted in the first place. Now, there was many, many ways that they were inflating the numbers. And obviously, President Trump tried his very best to prevent all of this by requiring it to only count American citizens. But it was a legal battle that those on the left really wanted to draw out. And so now we're kind of learning about the details as to how far those on the left went to steal seats, especially in our House, from American people. And if you live in the state of Florida, you were really the victim on all of this, but there's a massive effort to try to correct the issue, and those over America First Legal are looking to do just that. They just recently filed a lawsuit, and it's on behalf of several Florida groups, and they're looking to correct these issues because, again, these issues are really, really bad. I mean, they were trying to use AI to like algorithms to try to count extra people onto their rolls. I mean, it was really, really bad. The way that they were fabricating the numbers, also really bad. They're detailing it all right now. And also, we covered last week at great length about how Senator Jim Banks was going out there and calling all of this out when he was uncovering all of the theft that was included in all of this. So joining me now to discuss is former Congressman Madison Cawthorn. He is running for Congress again in this great state of Florida. And so it's exciting to have him on the show because he understands the theft of, well, that the left has been trying to do for quite some time now, and it's great to have him on the program. So welcome to the show. I want to talk a little bit about the census because this is an issue that's not getting enough coverage. You know, we saw how they were trying to inflate the numbers of residents living in nursing homes and dormitories on the left, and now they've been able to successfully steal House seats. So your reaction to the fact that AFL is now suing over the matter?
Well, Brianna, let me tell you, it's not just that they're trying to steal Republican seats. It's also that they're stealing literal dollars from the federal government that go to these states. Also, it is just a ridiculous way to try and circumvent what they call democracy, even though we know that we live in a republic. But they're trying to circumvent the ability for people to have actual representation in the U.S. House. It should be representative of how many people you have inside of your state, not representative of how creative these Democrat ridiculous socialists are capable of making things look by counting illegal aliens who shouldn't be in our country to begin with and definitely should not have any form of a voice in who gets to represent us. We've lost so many red seats. It's the only reason the Democrats are competitive in the House.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Florida for a bit because everyone's hyper-focused on that because they've been the real victims in all of this. How has the 2020 census affected Florida?
So when you start looking at it, when they came in to count this, obviously you talked about how they were using AI algorithms. They were trying to overcompensate how many people were voted inside of nursing homes, inside of dormitories. But also they worked very hard to make sure that illegal aliens were allowed to be counted inside of this. They were going to house saying how many people live in this home. Then they'd write down how people live in that home. Then they would move on. And obviously, when illegal aliens are here, many times they'll only live with one legal resident and they'll pack those houses with tons and tons of people. So we've seen the theft of, I think, maybe one, possibly two to three U.S. House seats from the state of Florida, which is a terrible thing. And Governor Ron DeSantis has been really front and center trying to make sure that we have as many red seats as we can have here in the state of Florida. But this is why I'm so thankful that President Trump is being so aggressive when he's going after illegal aliens. I think that it should be even more aggressive. I think we should be getting rid of everybody that's coming into our country that isn't coming through legal means. I would also support, you know, an immigration moratorium until we get all of this sorted out. But people don't understand that there are such narrow margins when it comes to what happens in the U.S. House. You know, there's 435 seats, and it's just based on a simple majority for almost any law to get passed through the House, any bill. And so when you start looking at, oh, well, maybe you just lost two seats. Maybe you lost three seats. And that happens all across the country. But here in the state of Florida, when you lose that many seats, that can be the difference between having Nancy Pelosi or Hakeem Jeffries leading the House or having an America First patriot who wants to fight for us.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I think people were paying attention in Texas when Texas was redrawing their congressional maps. And now Florida is on board with all of this. Democrats, though, say that this is a theft of the election process and actually think it's discriminatory. But why would you defend that on your behalf? I guess I should say, why do you defend that?
The reason I defend it is because, listen, if you start looking at all of these blue states that are all around the country, you start seeing how ridiculously gerrymandered they are. And I don't really think that Texas and Florida are trying to gerrymander their districts. I think they're just trying to make it representative of the people that they have. If there are more Republicans in this state than there are Democrats, then absolutely we should have significantly more seats than the other side. You can see what Mark Elias tries doing when he starts trying to literally steal a presidential election. Mark Elias also quarterbacked an effort to try and get me kicked off the ballot in 2022, saying that I was an insurrectionist, quoting some Civil War doctrine inside of that was created for Civil War generals and officers so that they couldn't be in the House. And that's what they tried to do. So when they're trying to say, oh, well, we don't like the fact that you're now only trying to count citizens inside of the U.S. Census, I just call it doesn't smack as pass the sniff test. It's nothing but BS. These people are evil. They hate you. And so whenever they're trying to say, take the moral high ground, say, oh, you're trying to circumvent the election process, just remember what they did to us in 2020 and what they've been doing to us for decades. Until we had President Trump, no one was calling this out. But trust me, they've been doing this probably since the 1960s.
Yeah, and it's great to see Republicans pushing back finally, because this was an issue that was going on for a very long time and there wasn't really much pushback. Again, he's been the only one really leading the way on that issue, so it's exciting to see. Speaking of that, I think President Trump deserves a lot of credit, because we're going to listen to clip 20 in just a moment. But President Trump has been absolutely massive in the pushback against the left-wing violence that we've seen in this country for over the last few years. I mean, they have just become completely radicalized, and they're using it as a way to, I guess, try to target conservatives, but also intimidate us. Let's take a listen to what President Trump just said moments ago.
It should be clear to all Americans that we have a very serious left-wing terror threat in our country. Radicals associated with the domestic terror group Antifa that you've heard a lot about lately, and I've heard a lot about them for 10 years. And other far-left extremists have been carrying out a campaign of violence against ICE agents and other officials charged with enforcing federal law.
All right, so let's just be clear. That was yesterday, by the way, when he made those comments. But he has been one of the very few people willing to call it out, and it's become increasingly worse, this violence from those on the left. Who do you blame in all of this? Because Democrats seem to shift the blame when they're confronted with it.
Listen, I blame the left-wing radicals, and I especially blame higher education. You know, if you start looking at recent polling numbers on what political side thinks that violence is an answer to your political woes, the Democrats come out significantly higher on who I think it's almost 13 to 25% of them think that violence is an acceptable answer for disagreements. Also, this is just something that has been going on for a lot longer than people realize. I remember back in, I believe, 2021, Antifa came to my home. They cut little heads out of my campaign signs and put blood down saying, you're next, on my driveway, trying to threaten and intimidate me. But unfortunately for them, Republicans in this generation, we don't back down. We're not afraid of a fight. And they are now registered as a domestic terror organization. They should be hunted down and taken out in every single way that we can. I apologize, ma'am.
Okay.
when we start thinking about what's going on, I mean, we're watching literal asymmetric warfare, civil warfare being carried out all across this country. And now they talk about asymmetric warfare. It's when one side is using unusual means. We've seen this starting to escalate ever since from the summer of love with the George Floyd riots, who should never have been venerated, should never have been celebrated. Someone who had an overdose and died while in police custody. They went to war against left-wing cities, started burning down all of these city centers around the country. And now it has culminated in them continuing to ratchet up the pressure, saying that we're fascists, saying that we're trying to overthrow the government, saying that we're violent extremists, all the way to the point that they shot Charlie Kirk because they disagreed with him, because he was effective. And trust me, Charlie Kirk is a moderate compared to the majority of young conservatives in this country. And so if they are willing to shoot him for his beliefs, I promise they're willing to kill you and I. It's time for us to fight back as far as we can.
Yeah, no, it is time for us to fight back, because for a very long time, we've kind of just allowed this to happen, and it's unacceptable behavior. And the Charlie Kirk assassination should have woken up most of this country at this point. So yeah, I totally agree on that front. Before you go, though, I wanted to ask you about this, because Nick Sorter, he has a show on this network, and it was very upsetting to see him getting assaulted multiple times by Antifa in Portland, but most importantly, he was arrested. And we're learning more and more about potentially how the police department, how they're now being accused of going after, and particularly going after Nick and having him arrested. Let's take a listen to how Nick details all of this in clip 21.
We're trying to figure out who gave the order, because the police that actually arrested me had no idea what was going on. It took them almost an hour to find out what my charges even were. So, I don't think that they were in on it. I think that they were put in a bad situation as well. They were taking orders from somebody higher up, but who that person is to be determined. You know, these people are out there every night screaming, burning things, vandalizing property, assaulting officers, and they are hardly ever arrested. But the day that I get there, a conservative media personality with a camera, I'm the one that gets arrested, and even the DA out there is saying that I should have never been arrested. You know, something stinks out there in Portland. Like, I went out there to expose the police department and the fact that they're allowing their city to turn into a terrorist hellhole almost, but run by Antifa. And they made my job a hell of a lot easier by arresting me at this point, because they've exposed themselves. Millions and millions of people are now paying attention to this story out there in Portland.
Well, it's a heck of a story that you've got to tell, and I know you've been telling it to the president in the next few minutes. I know that you've got to get inside the White House, so we'll let you do that.
All right, so it's great, obviously, to see Nick talking about all of this, but Portland police have a lot of questions that need to be answered. What was your reaction when you saw what happened with Nick, him getting arrested? Because when an independent journalist is arrested for doing his job, and he's also assaulted several times, on our end, we're deeply concerned. But what were your thoughts about the footage?
Listen, well, first off, we have to think back to when Nick Sorter ran out and saved that American flag from being burnt. That was a heroic move that he knew was probably going to draw a lot of negative attention, but he was willing to do it because he loves his country. Nick is a patriot. And so to see people trying to silence his First Amendment right to be able to go out and document what's going on, to speak out against the radical violence that's going on in this country, to see them trying to actually silence them, to use government force to take them on, that's exactly what, I mean, as everyone since Rush Limbaugh to Charlie Kirk to President Trump to people like you, to people like me, we have been warning this is the direction the left is going in for a very long time. The left does not care about open debate. They only care about open debate when they think that they have the facts on their side. But now that we've become organized, we've become shrewd, we're willing to fight back, they don't want to have open debate. They don't want to take us on policy and issues. You saw this during the 2024 election when they refused to start doing debates because they knew they were going to lose. Now, the problem is when you stop being able to use the First Amendment to be able to discuss our issues that's going on, that's when violence starts occurring. And we have got to stay away from having kinetic force draw out inside this country. It would be terrible. And so that's why we're calling on the radical left-wing Democrats to start being willing to have a conversation, be willing to have an open debate. Sure, you're going to lose because your side's idiotic and stupid, but at least it's a better alternative instead of having left-wing radicals order their Gestapo to go and start arresting journalists. That is what terrible, terrible dictator states start doing. And listen, I don't blame most of the rank and file police, even as Nick Sorter was starting to state inside of his interview. He doesn't think that the police officers even knew what was going on. This is a top-down issue. When we start looking at Democratic leadership, realize they don't have any values. Their only value is attaining power. They'll do it by any means necessary, even if that means arresting journalists. And so, Brianna, that even starts calling out people in your profession to start being worried. These people are going to start coming for you. And I know that you're aware of that. But I feel like too many people on the right and the older generation don't understand what's going on. You know, they often say, we don't want to rock the boat too much. We don't want to be too aggressive. The boat is sinking. They're currently arresting journalists as we speak. They're resorting to violence. And if you start trying to call out that violence, they'll arrest you for it. That is the message that we're getting from Portland. And that is the message that needs to resonate with the Republicans all across this country.
Yeah, we saw Barack Obama spying on journalists during his time in the White House. And we also saw Joe Biden going after journalists as well, trying to find out who their sources were. So again, this is a major issue, and if we continue to allow it, it will only get increasingly worse. So we're hopeful that Nick is about to set the tone on all of this and push back. And we're excited that President Trump, even having this roundtable, will instill some fear into these people who want to prevent independent journalists from doing their job. But speaking of that, you know, before you go, I wanted to talk to you because about specifically your announcement that you made earlier this month. You announced that you're running for Congress in the 19th Florida Congressional District, which obviously held currently by Byron Donalds. You are looking to represent those great people over there. I loved going over there to see the table, to all of those great business owners over there and talking and meeting with them. It's an incredible district. Why did you throw your hat into this race, though?
Well, listen, you know, I moved here several years ago, been here almost half a decade. I love this area. And, you know, I've got some major issues that I want to tackle. You know, one is really much, very much so a national issue. Because of the violence we're starting to see and because of the extremism we're starting to see come out of the left-wing radicals, I think that we need to be so shrewd and aggressive. We need to pull these people out root and stem. Their ideology needs to be systematically targeted and completely destroyed. We need to show how morally and intellectually bankrupt it is so that people in these blue hellholes inside of these cities all around this country are starting to say, wait a minute, these people are evil. These people don't represent me. We need to get them out of power. And then you're not going to have radical stuff happening like trying to miscount a census so you can circumvent the American people's voices. You know, after that, I really want to tackle home prices in this country. I think if we go after the EPA for their ridiculous mandates that they have on home building products, we could bring the cost of building homes down. And then after that, you know, I'm majority, I would say I'm about 60% of conservative, then about 40% of populist. And so I believe in conservative doctrine, but I'm willing to go outside of conservative doctrine to make sure this economy works for the American people and for people in my generation. So many people have been absolutely pushed out of being able to own a home inside this country. And one of those reasons is because flood insurance is so ridiculously high here in the state of Florida. Insurance across this country is so ridiculously high. There's a couple reasons for that. One is because we don't allow real competition in the insurance market, whether that's healthcare or whether that's the home insurance, but also in places like the state of Florida where flood insurance is so ridiculously high, and that's because we have so many outrageous storms that hit this area all the time. And now you and I both know that probably those storms are caused instead of just naturally occurring. But I believe that with what's going on, we need to have some kind of a tax rebate that goes back to American citizens so they can afford to own homes inside our beautiful states, places like Florida here in Southwest Florida.
Yeah, I mean, Madison, I'm glad you're calling that out because I lived in Florida for, I think, 6 years. And anytime it rained, the sewage would always clog up instantly and it would create all these floods. And I'm like, at what point do we say we've got a lot of issues here and it's not a natural occurrence when it comes to bad sewage and other features as well, thanks to the government. So again, yeah, I would say that this is a big issue and it's one worth fighting for because so many people who live in Florida are really upset with the insurance issue right now because insurance companies are fleeing the state. And I understand why. I understand both sides of it. So we're excited to see you in this fight. I want to thank you for joining the program today. We wish you the very best and we look forward to possibly having you soon back on the show. So thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely, Brianna. Thank you so much. And thanks for fighting for this country. Have a great one.
Thank you. And thank you as well. We're excited to have you hopefully back in D.C. fighting for this country. I think, though, you are the clear winner, my friend. So thank you so much.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
You are beyond insane if you don't support us. If you don't support this broadcast, I mean, I'm being honest, it's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's like going into the Sahara Desert without a canteen of water. It's like sticking your wiener, you know, in somebody that's got 14 diseases without a condom. Sorry for the gross thing. But the point is, shouldn't do it anyway. Huh? The point is that I need your support. And I'm only going to sell you stuff that works really great. Like I said, I've opened a restaurant to be the best food, best prices, best atmosphere, quality service, because I want you to come in 1,000 times. I want a relationship with you. The products are insane. Ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, not a sexy name, but what it does for your hair, skin, and whole body, everything else is insanely good. We got the biggest sale in the history of theolivesoshore.com right now, running until Friday. Black Friday comes early. Buy any supplement. You can buy a supplement that costs $20 and then get a $40 supplement for free. It's not just buy one, get another free of the same thing. We've done that quite a few times. This is buy any supplement, get any other one free. All the new designs, all the new apparel in, the biggest selection of Patriot apparel in the world. Now 670-something designs, ball caps, you name it. 25% off on all that and a bunch of other insane sales. If you're a VIP, you get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers. Anybody, anything should be a VIP. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. Share the live feeds. You are the backers of this operation. You are the InfoWar. So go now to InfoWarStore.com, where we got probably the final shipment of the highest quality fish oil and the highest quality turmeric, Body's Ultimate Turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Those are both 40% off. I want to thank you all for your past support, but you've invested in this operation. It's paid off in global awakening. It's been so incredible. Thank you so much for being at the heart of this operation. So as all of our family members in the InfoWar, all of our team members, all of the emissaries, all the ambassadors of freedom against the globalists, that now at the thick of the battle, as you see it peaking and peaking and peaking, just as I've said, I don't come out here and talk about civil war, their plans for insurrection, their plans for military coups, just to sound scary. And then now if they're openly calling for it, U.S. senators, members of Congress, CIA, because we're beating them, and it's the last move they've got. We're also going to add a link at InfoWarsStore.com today. You can make straight donations on there so that we get all the money and we can get past the shortfall. So I don't want to spend our valuable time on this.
The truth is just a tap away. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Alex Jones app, available now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stream the latest shows, stay up to date with breaking news, and support free speech with every click. Grab your t-shirts, hats, supplements, and more, all inside the app. Don't wait. Download the Alex Jones app today and join the fight for freedom.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening all around the country. A lot of corruption. A lot of, let's just say, deep state operatives are being called out today, and it is my honor to do just that. We're learning more, obviously, about Arctic Frost and in the first portion of the show. I almost let an F-bomb slip. That's how fired up I got. But we're going to calm things down a little bit now as we dive into the big scam, which was Joe Biden winning the first election. Obviously, they claimed he won back in 2020. But the worst of it is we're now learning that those close to Joe Biden were actually being paid. And they were given the incentive. If Joe Biden was reelected, back into the White House, they were promised $4 million. That's what one aide is talking about now. That includes a base salary of $4 billion. So that includes what, $8 million just for getting a warm body back into the White House? But don't take my word for it. In clip 14, you were going to hear from a gentleman who was apparently a very close aide to Joe Biden. Mike Donilon is the individual who you hear in this video admitting, well, because he asked and now he's under oath, admitting to getting potentially a $4 million bonus if Joe Biden was reelected to the White House. Take a listen.
Were there any circumstances in which you would have received a bonus?
Yes, there was.
What were those circumstances?
That Joe Biden would have been reelected president of the United States.
What was the bonus of Ben?
I believe it would have been $4 million.
In addition to the $4 million that you were already paid?
Yes.
Huh. Did you hear that? That's $8 million. I wonder who was paying all that money. I'm sure it was a donor of some sort or someone who probably hates this country and wanted to see our demise. No surprise here, folks. No surprise at all. Joining me is probably someone else who is not very surprised. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Chad Prather. He's host of the Chad Prather Show, and he is a great friend of mine, of course, and a great follow over on X. You can follow him at Watch Chad. Chad, welcome to the program. I'm fired up today, so it's an honor to have you on the show. It looks like everyone was getting paid to push Joe Biden back into the White House, to prop him up, make it look like he was a functioning human being, and then get him back in there. $4 million is quite the great bonus, I must say.
It's not bad for a public servant. You and I picked the wrong job. But here's the kicker. So when he admits that there's another $4 million waiting for him if Biden wins the reelection, that's a guarantee. I mean, that's what he called it, a guarantee by a campaign. People need to let that sink in. You can almost hear the champagne bottles clinking in the background of a promise like that. $8 million on the line. All you had to do was help a failing president look alive long enough to cross a finish line. I'm telling you, that's desperation wrapped in a bonus check. That's not public service. That's prize fighting for power. I mean, when you got a paycheck that depends on a candidate's pulse, you'd prop up a corpse if you have to. I mean, I'll write speeches that make, it's ridiculous. Like, I would have made Joe Biden look like Jesus' second coming for $8 million. I mean, this guy's stumbling over sandbags and reading the wrong things on the teleprompter, and all I got to do is make him feel relatable for $8 million? It's Weekend at Bernie's times two, baby.
Well, I think that's what they were doing behind the scenes. I mean, they even gave him that little fake White House or the Oval Office room where they're having him sign these fake these fake bills, and then the executive orders. I mean, it was absolute garbage that they were trying to feed the American people. And, you know, Chad, before you came on, we were listening to some of the testimony that's been given from a lot of his staffers, Joe Biden's staffers, who are like, oh, no, he was fine. Maybe saw a couple of little signs here and there. But, I mean, he was functioning. He was a warm body. I mean, what the heck comes next after all of this? Because they sat there for 4 years. And, I mean, we didn't lie to the American people. We told our audience that he was barely breathing at this point. But the rest of them, I mean, they propped him up every day and made it seem like he was some type of world leader.
Well, they continually pull back the curtain and show us what they're doing behind the scenes, who's pulling the puppet strings. But think about, to your point, what this does to the inner circle. When everybody around the president is financially rewarded only if the illusion holds up. And, you know, who's going to tell the truth in that case? You know, who's going to look the public in the eye and say, you know, this guy's a warm body? Who's going to look at the president and say, sir, it's time to step down? Nobody, because honesty doesn't have a bonus structure. Spin does. Loyalty does. Denial pays better than discernment. So when we're as a country watching Joe Biden fumble through these sentences and forget where he was, the media is going to tell us he's sharp as ever. He's virile. He's competent. You know, Karine Jean-Pierre said, I can barely keep up with the president. It just looks like he was going to, you know, break out and run at some point. That's not just bad journalism. It's financial self-preservation. So people had actual skin in the game, and it's not just a little bit of money, millions of dollars. So we're not, and they said we were the threat to democracy. This is a pyramid scheme of power.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, KJP was one of the main characters behind all of this, pushing it, even calling it cheap fakes when you actually physically saw a video of the president stumbling, the president falling, or unable to remember who he even was. She would say that it was a fake video, and she often did that. And she was grilled about it during her testimony, and she said, well, I mean, maybe some of it was real. I don't really know. It's like, lady, it's very easy to tell if it's a real video or not. You were just intentionally trying to mislead the American people. But, you know, AG Pamboni yesterday, when she was watching all this stuff drop yesterday regarding Arctic Frost and Joe Biden's mental health and everything was just coming out at once yesterday. She tweeted out that my team has already initiated a review of the Biden administration's reported use of AutoPen for pardons. A lot of these pardons, Chad, were so disgusting. I mean, he pulled, or whoever was operating the AutoPen, pulled individuals off of death row who had committed heinous crimes without even consulting with the victims' families to see if they were okay with all of this. They also freed a CCP, in my beliefs, a CCP spy who was in custody. I mean, he was literally in custody for having over 40,000 child pornographic images on his device, and they commuted his sentence and sent him back over to China. What do you think is going to happen here? Because a lot of this can't be undone.
No, a lot of it can't be undone, and I hope something does happen. And I do hope that AG Bondi, who disappoints me consistently, will do something about this that is tangible. You know, this is a bad situation. I think Joe Biden, honestly, probably the only pardon that he had the wherewithal to actually put his stamp of approval on was his son, Hunter Biden's. The rest of it, I don't think the guy, you know, this is a guy who didn't know how to tweet. Like, he didn't even know his passwords to his own X account. So there's no way you could tell me that he could commute all of these sentences or let these people off. I mean, we're talking about people on death row to pedophiles. You know, the J6 committee. These are some really bad individuals who lied to the American people. And, you know, they want to call it public service, but when you get to a situation where the public is being served last, that's what happens. You can wave the flag, talk about saving democracy, and pad contracts and pay your, you know, the folks on your inner circle. You can do the auto pen. You can let your aides run the country. This was literally a situation where our country was on autopilot and the captain was dead in the cockpit and nobody wanted to talk about that. So I hope something gets done about this. It's time for some tangible results when it comes to this Department of Justice.
Yeah, and that's what we're all waiting on. Nobody wants to sit back and continue to watch this unravel and go, oh, wow, that's so shocking. Oh, that's so shocking. And then nothing happens. I mean, we're far into this right now. We still haven't seen a single Democrat from the Obama-Biden regime arrested. And I've got a countdown going at this point, so I don't know how much longer we could tolerate this anymore. I mean, I'm just asking for one. They gave us like three little ones, but they had nothing to do with really, I would say, nothing to do with the Biden-Obama regime. And they were the safest ones to go after because, again, they weren't Democrats. They weren't aligned with them from the beginning. So those were easy catches so far. But I want to shift gears a little bit because this won't give you probably a good tackle. But the individual who is responsible for Tina Peters being in prison right now, who is the Secretary of State over in Colorado, Jenna Griswold, is coming out here and she's making some outlandish conspiracy theories of her own, saying that President Trump tried to steal the 2020 election. Now, she's not questioned as to what evidence she has of that, of course, but she's claiming that the president tried to steal the 2020 election, and she says it with a straight face in clip 15. Take a listen.
We have a sitting president trying to undermine democratic norms and attack our institutions on a near daily basis. But I can say with confidence our elections and our systems have held strong. And as Secretary of State, I've increased their resilience. It is now a felony to access on an unauthorized basis voting equipment. And we've caught someone, Tina Peters, who is now serving 9 years of imprisonment because she tried to mess around with voting equipment in the state of Colorado.
What are you going to do if there are troops on the street at at polling places?
It's unfortunate that we have to plan for these scenarios, but as Secretary Benson of Michigan said, we had already planned for these scenarios in 2020. A lot of the worst case scenarios that you can think of, Democratic Secretaries of State have been planning contingencies since 2019 in preparation for the 2020 election. Look, Donald Trump and his allies are more sophisticated. Trump tried to steal the election in 2020 through lies. Didn't work. He then incited the insurrection. It didn't work. Him and his MAGA allies have learned from their failures. But we're more sophisticated also. The American people are ready to go. We need the American people to stay in this fight. This isn't Republican versus Democrat. This is folks who believe in rule of law, in democracy, and our election standing firm against this assault on our nation. I'm staying in this fight. I'll always fight to protect our democracy. That's a large part why I'm running for attorney general in Colorado.
Yeah, Chad. So she goes and makes these baseless claims that the president was trying to steal the election. He's going to do just that this time around. And it's fear-mongering at best. But, you know, I know a couple of companies that were sued for over $1 billion for making allegations against voting machine companies. And I would say those who also just questioned the fact that they claim that Joe Biden won the elections, they were shunned as conspiracy theorists, as people who were cooking up lies just to fear-monger to their base. So there's a lot here that I'd like to dive into. Does she face possible civil lawsuits in all of this now that she's, I mean, I know you're not an attorney, but should she face some type of like civil retaliation for going after President Trump and claiming that he tried to steal the 2020 election?
I mean, that seems to be the pattern, right? I mean, isn't that what everybody had to deal with? That's the whole problem. First of all, some people should not be in front of a camera. Jenna Griswold, it's always in the eyes, Brown. It's always in the eyes. You can see the crazy. But the irony is rich. You got Jenna Griswold, the same woman that conveniently leaked passwords to the voting machines and is going to scramble to cover it up, now wants to play the moral referee. It's like the arsonist calling the fireman dangerous for carrying a hose. What Tina Peters did was expose vulnerabilities. What Jenna did was create them. And that's the problem in this country right now. You got the truth tellers that get raided while the bureaucrats that mishandle the people's trust get booked deals in primetime interviews like this one. So if you're genuinely concerned about election integrity, you don't silence the whistleblowers, you fix the system. But that's not what this administration or any administration ever seems to do. They criminalize the dissent. They call patriotism interference. They turn every act of accountability into a dang felony. So if we're handing out orange jumpsuits for messing around with election equipment, maybe Jenna should take a long look in the mirror with her crazy eyes before she starts pointing fingers. Because the American people aren't blind to this. We're pissed off and we're sick of it. They can see who's protecting the truth and who's trying to bury it under political theater. And that's all this is.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because Tina Peters, I know a lot of people are advocating for President Trump to pardon her, but they can't because she's charged on a state level. And so I'd like to see the administration to try to pull funding from them, because what they've done to Tina Peters is absolutely egregious. And she tried her very best to blow the whistle on the internal corruption that she was witnessing during her time, obviously, running the Colorado elections. And they tried to, again, discredit her by going after her and charging her and now putting her in prison for over 9 years, I believe it is. And
9 years?
Yeah, she's a sick woman. I mean, like, not like a sick woman in that sense, but her health isn't the best. She's a patriot. Her son was obviously served in the military, passed away. He died. He's their Gold Star family. I mean, this is insane that we've done this much to her. There needs to be more of a push. And I just think Griswold belongs in prison at this point. But let's shift gears a little bit. Yep. Since you've got an eye for crazy. I wanted to talk to you about this one before we head on out. You've been sounding off regarding those who are taking to Twitter, taking to X, taking to TikTok, because they're fired up. They're really angry, Chad, about their food stamps getting cut off, and they're making threats. Take a listen to clip 16, because all the crazies are getting ready to become criminals or to continue their criminal behavior, whatever it is. Take a listen.
And baby, y'all out here playing. Little do y'all know, we is in a real life mother recession. We are going through a struggle around here. Like, nobody is not understanding that. It's not clicking in nobody. Trump trying to talk about the food stamp, and I don't know what you bitches gonna do, because you bitches have kids.
A lot of people ain't gonna keep it real, but a lot of our parents got stamps. My mom has 7 kids, so she got stamps or whatever, and I didn't see her selling them. She did the best she could with what she had, and we always had food. So when I got stamps, I'm like, okay, it's okay to get them or whatever, but I did live in fear of if I work a job or anything like that, I'm gonna lose my food stamps.
Why the fuck I just seen some that said Walmart gonna be closed, all we could do is curbside? We don't give a fuck, bitch. Walmart not the only grocery store, you dumb assholes. Still looting, still stealing. Trump. It's crazy.
So y'all, I'm just thinking, I gotta come up with a master plan. They didn't cut my food stamps. I'm down to my last pack of noodles and 2 balls of soap. Something gotta shake. I'm just trying to see when we going to get groceries. I'm thinking tomorrow a good day. We can start tomorrow. I got a route for this. We gonna start that bitch off in New Temple. We gonna run that bitch through Wesley Chapel, swing that bitch down, Bruce B. Down. We gonna gas up in the city. We ain't gonna f*** with the city, because if we f*** with the city, them hoes gonna be ready to die out and shit. So we gonna leave them alone.
And as someone who has never been approved for food stamps, I'm not gonna lie, I'm actually happy for this food stamps cut. And it's not for the reasons that you think. It's not because I'm like a hater and I'm upset that people are getting like free stuff. No. I just can't wait for the looting. Yeah. Cause as someone who is not on food stamps and you have to constantly pay for these expensive groceries, I'm tired. I'm sick of it. Like I just can't wait for the looting.
Nobody is abusing food stamps. You can't abuse food stamps. That's like stealing from Darth Vader. Nobody cares.
They're taking away food stamps because they want people to commit crimes. They're not hiring people. They're not giving people jobs because they want them to join the military and the police force. They're using Bad Bunny as a headliner for the Super Bowl to mass arrest Hispanic people, citizens or not. The government is shut down so that you don't hold them accountable. Hope this helps.
That helped you, because I, for one, didn't understand. I love this video, Chad, by the way, of Alex Jones. And this is going to be you once these EBTs get cut off, just relaxing, chilling out. Yeah, I mean, if you shop at Walmart for your groceries, there's probably going to be less obese individuals wearing tank tops. And, I mean, it looks like sports bras sometimes on them. So that's the one good thing about all of this. But, you know, they're threatening violence. They're threatening to go out there and start robbing these supermarkets. I mean, what the heck's going on here, Chad?
Well, I've caught a lot of hell for it. I keep laughing at it. Nobody misses nail or weave day on these things. You can't get that on food stamps, but somehow they're making sure that those are done. You know, here's the thing. People come at me because they say, well, aren't you a Christian? You know, don't you want to love your neighbor? Listen, what we've done is we've traded personal responsibility for a political pity party and call that loving your neighbor. Nobody's laughing at people who are struggling. We're laughing at the system that profits off keeping people that way. We've built an economy where people are told to stay poor, stay quiet, vote blue if they want their benefits to keep coming. That's not compassion. And that's absolute control. So the same government that can't balance the checkbooks writing the spiritual checks in Jesus' name, and people are cashing them at the window of entitlement, and then someone says, hey, maybe freedom's a better long-term plan than food stamps, and suddenly I'm the bad guy. So let me remind you, Jesus said feed the hungry, not fund the bureaucracy that keeps them hungry. We didn't hand out a permanent disability card and said, see you next election cycle. So these people want to threaten their violence and all this stuff. Listen, what about our service members? Well, service members rely on these programs, don't they? Well, you're right, and that's the bigger scandal. We spend billions on foreign wars and gender studies in Pakistan, but can't make sure our veterans can afford groceries without government coupons. I mean, don't aim the outrage at me. Aim it at the clowns in Washington who made the warriors beg for bread, and that's on the Democrats, if you ask me, and that's also in their voting records. So the moral high ground isn't mocking the poor. It's demanding a system that lifts them up instead of chaining them to welfare checks. And that's exactly what these people are bitching about. So, again, real love isn't measured in how long we can keep people dependent. It's measured in how far we can help them rise. And that's up to personal responsibility and not up to the government to be my compassion plan. So I'm not apologizing for saying the quiet parts out loud, man. And I'm going to mock these people and ridicule them because they just made a video and said they're coming for my stuff. Well, good luck with that.
Good luck with that. Yeah, they're not coming for my stuff. Good luck with that. I've got attack Pomeranians that will bite your ankles if you come for my things.
So you better... I've seen them.
They're vicious. They're vicious, those dogs. Chad Prather, thank you for joining us again, folks. He's the host of the Chad Prather Show. And give him a follow over on X at Watch Chad. Chad, you do a great job every day, so we appreciate you joining us. Thank you, as always, my friend.
Thanks, Brianna.
All right, folks, let's keep digging into the shutdown, because the shutdown's got a lot of people fired up. A judge yesterday, of course, it's a federal judge in San Francisco, says President Trump can't fire government employees. They're saying the thousands of federal employees that he's potentially going to be dismissing, he can't do it. Now, obviously, as you guys know, the federal courts, the judges, the liberal judges, they obviously outrank the president of the United States. No, they don't. Obviously, it's going to get challenged, tossed out. But of course, this is what they're doing. The ruling is, again, meant to stop the president from using these government shutdowns to downsize the federal government. Why not? Democrats don't want to come to the table and reopen the government. You might as well get rid of all of these government employees, because, newsflash, a lot of them are Dems themselves. They continue to vote for these policies. You voted for these scumbags, lose your job. I like it. I think it's a great policy. I could support it as we approach day 28, as we are in day 28, I should say, of the shutdown. Now, again, I don't really notice much, but if you're somebody who's a government employee, if you're somebody who serves in our military, then yeah, you probably notice a little bit of an issue here with your paychecks. I'm all for paying our military at this point. We should be able to shuffle around some things and make sure to do that. I'm also for paying our ICE agents as well, those who are fighting to keep the homeland secure, everyone else. Blame your Dems. It all falls on them. But when it comes to the food stamps that are being pulled as well, California and other state AGs, they're not very happy about it. In fact, they just filed a lawsuit as of yesterday to go after the USDA for cutting those fundings. Now, apparently they're saying that there's some type of emergency funds that could be utilized for this to prevent this from happening. But the USDA is not doing just that. Take a listen to clip 6, because this is Brooke Rollins, who's obviously in charge of the USDA, sounding off on the issue.
USDA does not have the $9.2 billion that it would require. There's not just pots of $9.2 billion sitting around. And what's particularly rich about New York saying that, or California, or any of these other blue states that have filed the lawsuit that say, oh no, we're going to go, you guys, USDA, go find the money, is it's their very friends, partners, colleagues, Democrat elected officials that continue to vote over and over again to keep the government closed. Again, shame on them. I cannot begin to understand what they're thinking. Even their own union, right? Even their own federal government employee union, I don't know the exact name, is urging their own Democratic leaders to open the government back up. Listen, Chuck Schumer's getting paid. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is getting paid, but our air traffic controller's not getting paid. Our food stamp recipients are not going to get their benefit beginning Saturday. Our law enforcement, those that are keeping us safe, not getting paid. It's just, it's unbelievable. And I've never seen anything like this. It's surely they're going to change their mind and vote to open any day now.
Well, one would hope. There's many who are predicting that this is going to last through November, because Democrats, again, are holding the line to make sure that their illegal aliens get some type of health insurance. Things are getting really bad. We're going to toss it over to a break in a little bit, but when we come back, I'm going to play Jake Tapper, even defending the common sense angle to all of this and preventing Democrats from using this moment to attack Republicans. Again, I mean, I don't think either side is great. Okay. But the reality of it is there's only one side that still will not come to the middle, come to these logical standpoints and sign off on spending that does not include illegal aliens. That side's Democrats. And it's very obvious. And when you ask Democrats, well, what are you still holding out for? They can't tell you what they're still holding out for, because they don't want you to know that it's illegal aliens. Yeah, they keep saying, we believe in healthcare for all people. People? What kind of people? Can't tell you that, though, of course. Folks, we've got a lot happening in the next hour of the show, so do not go anywhere. I've got an arsenal of fraud and corruption to expose in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. If you haven't done so already, download the app. Stay in touch with us, because you never know when those front doors are going to lock. This is how we stay in touch. So head on over, download the app if you haven't done so already. When you do just that, we're going to give you a gift, 20% off to use over at thealexjonesstore.com. You could use that promo code. It's an exclusive. Of course, when you download the app, you can use that promo code over at the shop to grab some of your favorite items. And yesterday we announced the launch of Methylene Red. But for someone who's looking to get on the tip-top shape when it comes to brain health, this is what you're going to want to snag over at the store. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com to grab yourself some Methylene Red right now. It's perfect to pair up with the blue, of course. And this is a must-have. So do just that. I'll be right back with more corruption to expose.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the methylene blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought a line that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier, not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I've fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
I'm grateful that the court ended the case against me, which was a prosecution based on malevolence and incompetence.
This investigation of the president was corrupt. The FBI and the Department of Justice were politicized and weaponized. And in my opinion, there are only two possibilities. That you were deliberately corrupt or woefully incompetent. And I don't believe you were incompetent.
This case mattered to me personally, obviously, but it matters most because a message has to be sent that the President of the United States cannot use the Department of Justice to target his political enemies. I don't care what your politics are, you have to see that as fundamentally un-American and a threat to the rule of law that keeps all of us free.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
I know that Donald Trump will probably come after me again. And my attitude is going to be the same. I'm innocent. I am not afraid. And I believe in an independent federal judiciary.
Well, what I will say is that everybody knows that James Comey lied to Congress.
On May 3rd, 2017, in this committee, Chairman Grassley asked you point blank, quote, have you ever been an anonymous source in news reports about matters relating to the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation? You responded under oath, quote, never. He then asked you, quote, have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton administration? You responded again under oath, no. Now, as you know, Mr. McCabe, who works for you, has publicly and repeatedly stated that he leaked information to the Wall Street Journal and that you were directly aware of it and that you directly authorized it. Now, what Mr. McCabe is saying and what you testified to this committee cannot both be true. One or the other is false. Who's telling the truth?
I can only speak to my testimony. I stand by what the testimony you summarized that I gave in May of 2017.
So your testimony is you've never authorized anyone to leak. And Mr. McCabe, if he says contrary, is not telling the truth. Is that correct?
Again, I'm not going to characterize Andy's testimony, but mine is the same today.
It's as clear as day. And this judge took an unprecedented action to throw these cases out to shield James Comey and Letitia James from accountability based on a technical ruling. And the administration disagrees with that technical ruling. We believe the attorney in this case, Lindsay Halligan, is not only extremely qualified for this position, but she was, in fact, legally appointed. And I know the Department of Justice will be appealing this in very short order. So maybe James Comey should pump the brakes on his victory lap.
Well, the Drudge Report, the Democrat Party mouthpiece, has the headline, Bondi blows it. Comey and James cases dismissed by another one of these globalist judges, the same ones that have said everything Trump's been doing is illegal, like arresting illegal aliens, and of course higher courts then override it. But it's a lot harder when a criminal case gets dismissed by a judge.
Did the FBI do these investigations by the book?
No.
No question?
No question.
These FBI records about the burn bags came to light during the criminal prosecution of former FBI Director James Comey. These burn bags contained records from Mar-a-Lago, January 6th, and the FBI Russia probe.
Someone has access to those different cases, a very limited source.
So a limited source or a very senior person.
Right.
Is the fact that there was an investigator-level briefing for journalists at the New York Times?
That is highly, if it's not illegal, I don't know what it is.
Lindsay showed the receipts that Kash Patel and Dan Bongino found, including in the burn bags inside of a skiff inside the FBI. They were trying to destroy this evidence, and Kash and Dan found it, turned it over to Lindsay, and Lindsay filed her response to Comey's motion to dismiss for malicious prosecution.
The CIA warns the FBI, and then at the same time, they're applying to the National Security Court using information, which is opposition research.
Right. You can ruin somebody's life by just open investigation on them.
The globalists have most of the courts. They have the big corporations. They have a lot of the brainwashed young people. They have the universities. They don't have the mind of the average person anymore. But to them, they all feel insulated that they can just, as a mob, move against us in different ways and that they're going to be victorious in the end. I can assure you that it's not going to go the way you think.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Welcome back. There's a lot more we're going to dive into, a lot of groundbreaking interviews we did on this show. So thanks for jumping on with us. Folks, in the meantime, though, before we dive into that, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is our Black Friday sale going on right now. We only got a couple of hours left here. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. And of course, when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you're entering to win potentially a free vehicle and a lot of cash. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, buy one, get one free in all supplements, plus 25% off apparel. Now, again, we've never done a sale this big before. This is our biggest sale yet. So now's a good time to head on over to the Alex Jones Store and make sure you stock up for the holidays. All right. I want to kick things off with in the second hour with my buddy Steve Baker. As many of you know, Steve Baker, an incredible journalist. He goes, he works for The Blaze. Steve has done such a great job at covering so many beats that the Biden regime actually arrested him and was trying their very best to throw Steve Baker in prison. Now, that's not the story we're going to cover here for you today. It's going to be the story about how he, according to his sources, found out that there was remember when the UN was having their meeting and President Trump went there in New York City to speak and they had randomly discovered all of these like SIM cards, phones everywhere in these random places, these apartments. It was quite strange. Well, Steve did digging, and according to his sources, it was being operated by China, and it was one of their hundreds of SIM card farms that have popped up all across the country. Now, what is it meant to do? It's meant to take down the infrastructure, our digital infrastructure, and that's exactly why they do these things. And so Steve walks us through what he is hearing according to his sources, and this is a very important issue, obviously, given the fact that it's a national security issue. So Steve will walk us through that. But I want to remind you, Steve's work has been absolutely incredible. I have been one of his biggest supporters because he needs all platforms. I mean, when Steve breaks a story, these are big, big stories. And he broke a great story last year in regards to J6 and how he caught two Capitol Police officers committing perjury during the J6 trials. He sifted through a bunch of just surveillance footage and was able to dig it up and expose it. Now, Steve Baker's reporting has been so incredible as being the original J6 reporter, because he was reporting inside the Capitol that day, that the Biden DOJ actually went after him. They filed criminal charges against him, and they had him arrested. Now, I was one of the very few people who did go to cover what was happening to Steve Baker. And let me just detail that for you, because I think it was disgusting, the fact that not a single journalist besides his employer, The Blaze, went there to support Steve. This was an attack on our First Amendment rights. Steve, a member of the media, was being charged and being persecuted because the Biden regime didn't like his reporting. He exposed the DOJ for being a bunch of scumbag liars, treasonous pigs, and they didn't like that. So Steve Baker was shackled and dragged into a federal courtroom. I mean, literally his ankles, his wrists, and he was dragged in. With violent criminals, by the way. I mean, one of the guys, apparently, who was in the line was accused also of being a crack dealer, but also cooking up crack at his house. I mean, that's who they put Steve Baker in line with. Now, the Biden DOJ thought they could get away with it, but they can't. They thought they were going to lock up my good friend Steve Baker, but they didn't. They failed. Why? Well, President Trump issued a pardon to Steve Baker, and so everything was wiped clean. Now, it shouldn't have gotten to that point, though. We shouldn't have needed that pardon. And that's the really upsetting part in all of this. The corrupt D.C. judges that allowed this to happen, who literally had a problem and a feud with Steve and was doing his very best to continue to go after Steve, knew that Steve was likely going to get pardoned. And so when Steve just decided, you know, I'm just going to plead guilty because I know President Trump's going to pardon us, the judge let his opinions be known because he had a good feeling that he wasn't going to see Steve again. And so these political hacks, well, they took full advantage of that opportunity. Steve Baker is an absolute fighter, and he's done an incredible job at exposing what happened to so many January 6th defendants. It's absolutely disgusting that it happened in the first place, and so many reporters refused to cover it because, well, they just deemed it as like an insignificant issue. But what they were able to get away with needs to be called back into question. We need an administration that goes after those who are a part of all of this. The firings of these DOJ attorneys isn't enough. That is just the beginning. They need to be disbarred. And we're not hearing those types of discussions, though, happening right now at the White House or at the DOJ. You see, when you can manipulate law to go after your political enemies, that is a big, big issue. And it's one of the issues that has never properly been addressed. We're almost a year into this and nothing has happened. Well, that's deeply concerning. Now, sadly, the DOJ is being operated by people who are intentionally looking to stall these things out. There are some great patriots, but then there are others who are intentionally failing the American people. And if you're wondering who I'm talking about, you know, it's the obvious. AG Pam Bondi not doing what she should be doing. The deputy AG, Todd Blanche, also not doing what he should be doing. And so we're in a very interesting situation here. Because right now we have key people sitting in the DOJ unwilling to do their jobs and are instead just doing things that the American people, yes, they want to see, but it's not a top priority right now. They're doing their best to run down the clock, and it is unacceptable that we do just that and allow that to happen continuously. But I want to get to the Steve Baker report because it's an important one. Steve is going to be discussing how his sources have told him that this is all linked to China in regards to these digital infrastructures that are being built all across our country to take out our digital infrastructure. Take a listen. There was another story. It was a big story that broke last week, and we want to make sure you kept your eye on it because, again, this one has a lot of us scratching our heads. You might recall there was a massive sim farm network that was exposed last week outside of the UN, miles away. Now, according to officials, this SIM card carried out surveillance. And guess who was behind it? Well, according to an exclusive report from The Blaze, China. China was behind this. Joining me now to discuss is investigative reporter for The Blaze. Please welcome to the show, Steve Baker. He's an incredible investigative journalist breaking all of these great stories, and I'm excited he's here with us today. Steve, we saw the report come out regarding this SIM farm that was just miles away from the UN when President Trump was in town and others, and it was capable of taking down the 911 call system in New York City. And now it's interesting because my first gut instinct was this is likely Al-Qaeda. I thought Al-Qaeda, since the Syrian president was in town, it was a no-brainer for me since he is an Al-Qaeda leader. But now you're telling me it's China. So break down your latest report.
Yeah, it's very unlikely that these SIM farms are, these SIM card farms, or however you want to characterize them, are the product of a single terrorist organization. They just don't have the resources to do that. And even the speculation that it may be part of a cartel operation and some of their nefarious doings, particularly with scam operations and also, you know, rerouting calls for their drug and human trafficking operations. Well, the reality is that the cartels do in fact use these SIM farms because the cartels are nothing more than proxies of the Chinese government at this point. And yes, I did say that, but that is exactly the case. But these SIM farms are the product of a nation state. We know for a fact through our sources in the highest level of the intelligence community here in the United States that these are Chinese funded. There wasn't just the one that was found there in New York City that, you know, coincidentally happened at the time of the big NATO gathering. And the muckety mucks and the big wigs that were there. And it seemed to be maybe that was a something that might be the target of an attack. But that really was just a coincidence because these have been in operation, Brianna, since 2004. Now, not necessarily that one, but the entire idea of these SIM farm networks have been set up in this country by China since 2004. That's what we have learned. Additionally, we know that there were five that were taken down in this operation, not just the one that we keep hearing about. A couple of other outlets have also discovered that there were five total that were taken down there in the tri-state area. What that means is that these SIM farms had enough capability and enough of the ability to send out such a massive dose or an array of text messages and other types of signals that they could have actually taken down the entire cellular network in New York as well as the internet system. And of course, you know what would happen in that scenario. We would have a literally an escape from New York situation in as little as 3 days because there would be no ability for people to get cash from the ATM. Therefore, they wouldn't be able to buy anything. Their credit cards are not going to work at the point of sales in every store. They're not going to be able to get gasoline. It shuts everything down, including the train systems, the rail systems that are all dependent upon cellular networks and internet networks now. And this is exactly what these SIM farms are ultimately designed to do, other than just the you know, it's not so scary that they're able to do these SWAT raids, because what's happening is these SWAT raids that happen, and this is how this was discovered by the Secret Service, these SWAT raids that were hitting dignitaries, politicians, our own Congress members, and then, of course, many media influencers. I think, you know, like Tim Pool was SWATted 16 times, what ended up happening was a significant person, a very high-level, high-ranking person at the Secret Service was SWATted, and the call was routed through one of these farms, and that allowed their, or gave them enough motivation, let's just say, to finally do something about it and look for it. And one of their analysts happened to find the trail, you know, the electronic trail and footprints to locate one of these SIM farms. From that, they found the other four. And now the really frightening part, Brianna, is they estimate that there's anywhere from 60 to 100 of these located throughout the United States in various cities, border towns, things of that nature.
Okay, so this is really kind of scary, right? Because we covered the swatting instances that were going on across the country. Here at InfoWars, I think at least three hosts were dealing within a span of a couple of days these swatting calls that were being placed on their homes, their loved ones' homes, and they were targeted in all of this. I remember reaching out to the FBI to get them to investigate it, and I think I was probably the first one to do that because nobody really wanted to talk about it. This was kind of something that was very wanted to go under the radar, and they didn't see the consistencies here. And then we were all getting done. Domino's pizza delivery orders randomly, and they were all coming in. I mean, I have a big family. Everyone was getting pizza. And so it seemed very strange, but it also seemed foreign because no one really understood it. So now this kind of makes sense for all of us here. But we were told by DHS that they were going to be able to figure out because they had the equipment to solve this case. As far as I know, there has not been any major arrests in that situation. So it's interesting to hear your details regarding a high-up official over at the CIA. Is there anything else more you could kind of divulge on that front?
Well, the thing that we can tell you is there's a reason why no arrests have been made. Once these sim farms are set up, they're self-sufficient. Once they're plugged in, all completely operating, they don't need anyone on site to actually operate them. Now, I'm sure that they need service. I know that they need to come in from time to time to change out the cards or that sort of thing. But we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cards that have to be changed out. And once they're set up, they can operate self-sufficiently for quite some time. I can tell you that the owner of the property of the five sites where these five sim farms were found has turned himself in voluntarily and has become a cooperating witness. That's all we know. Now, the arrests have not been made because the actors are operating overseas. I can tell you for a fact that the high-ranking Secret Service official who was swatted, his call came in from the number of an 11-year-old child's cell phone here in the United States. But that's not where the call originated. It originated overseas. They actually know who placed that call. They know the name of the person. They know the country where the person is located, but they are not releasing that at this time.
Yeah, Steve, this is what gets me really infuriated. I don't think I've ever disclosed this publicly, but when I was investigating all swatting calls, and this is why I'm like getting really upset right now, the individuals who were involved in this were sending me child pornography through this 769 or 764 pedophile group, private Telegram chat, and they were trying to get me to go into this. So I tried my best to put this on the FBI's radar. They just pretty much dropped my case and didn't want much to do with it. So, you know, as we continue to learn more about this, I'm excited that we're learning more about this. I was getting FaceTime calls from random numbers. I was getting all these random phone calls. They were hoping I was going to pick up. I didn't because I didn't know what was going to be on the other line of all of this. But again, I mean, this is what we kind of expected. This is what we kind of knew what was going on. And so it's interesting to hear now that the kind of what you're saying about the CIA official who's now being wrapped up into all of this. I haven't heard anything from the FBI. And so this is very infuriating. But I want to ask you, because obviously this is China involved in all of this. What would be the purpose in doing this? Because I mean, for me, I'm thinking maybe they're just looking to create political discourse. They want to make it seem like conservatives are being targeted by those on the left. And so they're trying to stir the pot and create a civil war potentially that would work out well for China. But what are you kind of understanding in regards to why they would do this?
Yeah, no, the primary focus at the present is chaos, confusion, discord, creating those types of situations. But that's not the only thing they're doing with these sim farms. What we are going to be revealing in our next part, our part two of this story, is we're going to be revealing how they're influencing the narrative. This is a major influence operation in addition to the swatting, in addition to the capability of shutting down entire cellular networks. What they're doing is that these sim farms can actually electronically, through their AI directions coming from China, they can go through the multi-factor authentication process to set up social media accounts. It is estimated by the intelligence community that this is a staggering number, that 80% of all users on Reddit are actually bots, and you cannot tell the difference between them and humans. Mm-hmm. And that they are programmed in such a way to establish relationships with people. Discord is also, as we know, a major breeding ground for these bots that are shaping through progressive messaging and through, you know, we saw what happened with Charlie Kirk. We saw the group that those kids were hanging out in, and that these are influence operations to shape and brainwash young people, particularly the generation that is spending time in these chat groups, these gaming groups, these things, those online messaging groups and that sort of thing. And they are doing this by the tens and millions, hundreds of millions is what the capability of these sim farms is doing. And as I said, they're able to actually go through and create accounts. Now, Meta, Facebook, Instagram is highly infected by this particular assault from the Chinese government. X, interestingly, is not so much infected, and the reason why is because Elon had the foresight to do this $8 a month charge for a check mark, for the blue check mark. And as a result of that, it's very difficult for them to justify spending, you know, setting up tens of millions of accounts, fake accounts on X, and then paying $8 a month. They can't afford to do that. But these SIM farms are running a lot of the scams that you see, a lot of the times that your phone suddenly goes off with some phishing expedition for your data and for your financial information. That is a process of these farms. And the Chinese are paying for this. They're setting up cryptocurrency accounts, and that's how they're paying for that. That's how the properties are being paid for where these SIM farms are set up, is through cryptocurrency. And all of this is being done electronically, and so it's very, very difficult to trace. It's routed through multiple layers of switches through different countries, and but ultimately it all traces back to China. This is their operation. And what we're most concerned about, and the reason why, first of all, the fact that they're swatting our nation's leaders, because swatting now, as you know, has been classified by the new administration as an act of terrorism, and it is. Mm-hmm. Swatting is an attempted murder. That is exactly what a swatting effort is. And so these are acts of war. They are technically and legally defined as acts of war, what the Chinese are doing here. And that's most concerning, because we're not hearing anything from our government right now about how they're going to handle it, other than, you know, we still have, thank God, some good people in the intelligence community who are really concerned about this. And that's why they're talking to us, is so that we can get this information out there, warn the public. Then the public can put the pressure on our legislators, on the Trump administration, and say, do something about this before it gets out of hand.
Yeah, Steve, and this kind of brings back another conversation I had with the FBI when I was detailing what was going on with me and the harassment I was receiving through all of these random phone numbers, FaceTime calls, emails, pizza delivery orders, all of this. The first thing one of the FBI agents told me was, be careful, they might try sending you child pornography, and if they do, don't send it to us. So this sounds like they knew a lot more was on the line, more was going on, and that's what they were trying to do. And it's an effort to discredit so many people. I talk to conservatives all the time. Most of them won't come forward on this area, but they also have received the same things. And when they talk to the federal government, all these law enforcement agencies, there's not much done to protect them. It's meant to be a slander campaign, too, against conservatives to discredit us. And it's really concerning to me how deep this all goes. I mean, the fact that they're able to set these up all across the country, and we're now just learning about it, is really, really concerning. What are these wireless providers saying, though? Because ultimately, this could be used to take out their networks, and for some reason, I haven't really heard much on them.
Yeah, this is another suggestion from our sources, is that the wireless providers, even the big three, they have to take and become very proactive with this. It's impossible for them to not recognize the surges coming from a single address of this type of activity. Now, they may be, the Chinese may be so discretionary that they know how to stay, you know, kind of low, below a certain level of scrutiny, but ultimately they're testing, they're prodding, they're seeing what their capabilities are, because ultimately the end game of these servers, and the most dangerous aspect of them, is the ability to shut down entire cellular and internet networks, because that paralyzes us. It sends us to the dark ages in a matter of 3 days because of our supply chains, the way they are now, the way it's all set up. Your grocery store will be empty in 3 days if they cannot place orders. Your ATM will not be accessible. After you've paid your last $10, because we don't carry cash anymore, you paid your last $10 for gasoline, then that's not going to work any longer. And so it's a frightening prospect with these things can do. And we feel like right now what the Chinese are doing is just testing what their limits are.
Yeah, it's just another reason why they're doing this big push for all of us to go digital, and why we all need to be aggressive and push back. I know here at InfoWars, we've been warning our audience about this for quite some time now. So it's interesting to hear you lay that all out for us, Steve. So, Steve, I want to thank you for doing this incredible report. I look forward to part two on this, because this is really interesting, and this is where the war is. I mean, they're truly trying their best to go after the American people through something like this, and we all need to be paying attention. So, Steve, thank you again for all the incredible work you do over at The Blaze. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Brianna.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle. We're the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship. Get 50% off. You cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world. My fellow info warriors, we are having right now, in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, if the bad guys are about to take it over, why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction, or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to, you know, auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this. We'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Because remember, last year, when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But, of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And, of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. Remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever, works incredibly. This is a product that I came out with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So good for the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
joining me to discuss is Texas Representative Brian Harrison. He joins us now, and we're excited to have him on because he is going to give us the fair and balanced recap yesterday of all things that happened on Election Day here in the great state of Texas. So it's an honor to have him on the program. So thank you for being here, Representative Harrison. We're excited to have you on. All right, so I just want some overview. I know a lot of people were excited to see that Texans voted in support of U.S. citizens weighing in our elections. Of course, that's important. But you've highlighted the fact that it's not really anything that we could kind of cheerlead for right now, because we don't ask for voter ID when people show up to the booths.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's a good thing, and I'll tell you the good first. The good and what's encouraging about it is that the voters of the state of Texas overwhelmingly support election integrity. The voters of the state of Texas are conservative. They are Republican. They want bold Republican leadership. They want bold conservative leadership. These are the same people that reelected President Trump with a 14-point landslide, and they are sick and tired of gamesmanship happening at the ballot box. So they want to make sure that we're at least doing the basics here in Texas. And you're right, it shouldn't really be controversial that you should be a U.S. citizen to vote in our election. So that's the good, is that the voters of Texas agreed with that and agreed with it overwhelmingly. Here's the not so good. The reality is that despite the rhetoric from the leadership of the Texas government, the uniparty liberal swamp in Austin, okay, that will tell you that this is going to be the game changer, this is now our elections are secure, they're just lying to you because they're not telling you the full part of the story. And here's the reality. It's already been illegal in the state of Texas for non-citizens to vote. That's been the case for a long time. So that even while this is a good thing, I support it, I voted for it, this is unfortunately not going to stop even one single voter, illegal alien, from voting in our elections. And I'll tell you why, because we did not pass a single serious, strong piece of election integrity in all three sessions all this year. And in fact, even though people think that Texas is a photo ID state, the reality is the Texas government has still not even passed a law to require photo IDs at the ballot box. They'll ask you for it, but what they don't know is they snuck in these exceptions into the law that says, well, if you don't have an ID, don't worry, just show up with your utility bill or a government check, and you'll be given a ballot. So, no, the reality is that while President Trump is taking things like illegal immigration and election integrity very seriously, the state of Texas, unfortunately, is engaged in just a bunch of smoke and mirrors and a shell game, and they're not being direct. They're not being bold in the way that the voters of Texas absolutely want. Like, I would imagine most of your viewers right now had no idea that the Texas government does not actually require photo IDs to be able to vote.
Yeah, one would think that that would be like a day one thing that we would have fought for.
Right.
Again, we keep hearing that we're red states, and I'm not seeing any signs of that. It's very much appears to be purple from those looking on the outside in. So that's really frustrating on that front. And also the primaries. It seems to be quite interesting that the state of Texas has open primaries. Why would you allow, if you really loved your state and you really loved your party, why would you allow others who aren't trying to be affiliated with the party to weigh in on who your next nomination is? What's the very latest on that battle as well?
Yeah, I'll try to answer both of those in order. You talked about, you know, Texas people thinking it's red, but we're acting more purple. The reality is the Texas voters are red. The hardworking, overtaxed men and women of the state of Texas, they are dyed-in-the-wool, conservative, liberty-loving Republicans. But the Texas government is actually quite blue. And in fact, on the heels of last night's election in New York City, it's important to note that it is quite literally, this isn't rhetoric, it is literally the party of Mamdani that selects the so-called Republican leadership team in the Texas House. The Democrat caucus, the Mamdani supporters in the Texas government actually elect the leadership team in the supposedly Republican state of Texas. We have a Barack Obama White House official who's the House parliamentarian. So like the Texas government is actually much bluer than anybody realizes or wants to admit. On to the other issue regarding our primaries. Again, things that shouldn't be controversial, right? You should be a citizen of the United States to be able to vote. That shouldn't be controversial. Turns out it is. Also, Republicans should get to select the Republican nominee for elected office. But unfortunately, in the state of Texas, we do not have closed primaries. And so what happens is we have closet Democrats running for office and getting elected by literal Democrats who are switching over and voting in Republican primaries. And I have no idea why the governor of the state of Texas and our secretary of state appear to oppose the wishes of the Republican Party down here, which is to close our primaries and make sure that it is only people who are actually Republicans that get to elect the Republican nominees for office in the state of Texas. It's just one of the countless examples of the way that the supposedly Republican government of the state of Texas is actually subverting the will of the actual Republicans who call Texas home.
Yeah, and I don't understand what the rebuttal on that would be in regards to allowing these to stay open. It doesn't make any sense to me. If you love your state, if you love your party, if you love the so-called beliefs you claim to align with, you would want to make sure that those who oppose those views wouldn't want to infiltrate, and they would be able to do so through open primaries. And so it never seemed to make any sense to me. I don't understand why.
No, they do. I mean, when I just one other statistic that will shock your viewers, when I got elected in the Texas House of Representatives, where we have a massive majority, I think it was over a full quarter of my caucus, Republicans, were quite literally endorsed by the Texas affiliates of Randy Weingarten's teacher union. I mean, this is how messed up the supposedly Republican government is here in the state of Texas. And then we may talk about this too, but like, you know, while President Trump and DHS and ICE, they're taking action in the state of Texas to crack down on things like illegal immigration. I mean, ICE announced a few days ago they busted 11, I think, I know, over 100. Illegal aliens driving on our roads here in Texas. Well, my office uncovered and then verified the state of Texas is actually, instead of helping President Trump to combat illegal immigration, we're facilitating it. The Texas DMV is actually allowing illegal aliens to register vehicles in the state of Texas, endangering millions of people on Texas highways. And so I've demanded that the Texas DMV immediately take action, because it doesn't appear to me that they've taken any action to make sure that only U.S. citizens are registering vehicles. This juxtaposed against the Trump administration's unprecedented border security efforts. I mean, the state of Texas should be a force multiplier for President Trump's conservative actions, like on election integrity and like on immigration enforcement. But instead, the Texas government is turning a blind eye and in some areas, some ways, actually helping the radical leftists who support open borders and unchecked illegal immigration.
Yeah, there's no reason for us to allow all of this. And I was actually going to ask you, too, I know the Transportation Department has made this a top priority to crack down on these illegal aliens obtaining CDLs and driving on our roadways. I actually, and just a side note, I think it's a good laugh, but it shouldn't be funny. New York and other states, blue states, are giving out driver's licenses to individuals who they won't even verify what their first name is. And in fact, they're writing no name on the line. We've seen two examples of that, of New York licenses, the DMV even confirming that these licenses were authentic. And so they're just allowing all these people to run rampant. But when you think, well, why would the state of Texas be giving them vehicle registrations and encouraging this behavior? It's a real head scratcher. But have you heard from the secretary, Sean Duffy, about what you broke the other day? Because, I mean, it's been about 2 days. Has anyone reached out to you to talk about that?
So I was actually very pleased. First of all, Secretary Duffy's doing a great job on that front. But I was very pleased with Secretary Noem and the leadership of the Department of Homeland Security. They actually amplified with their official Department of Homeland Security social media feed. They amplified and promoted the letter that I wrote to the Texas DMV demanding that the Texas DMV stop facilitating effectively illegal immigration and facilitating illegal aliens registering vehicles to drive on our roads. And I'm glad you mentioned New York and other blue states that are absolutely issuing driver's licenses to illegal aliens. Well, guess what? I recently learned as I was uncovering the scandal at the Texas DMV, which, by the way, the Texas DMV better take action on this. Governor Abbott appoints the leadership of Texas DMV. There is no excuse for this. If Governor Abbott wants to say with a straight face he's trying to combat illegal immigration, then Texas DMV will issue new rules to stop this immediately. But here's what one part of the scandal that I recently uncovered. The Texas DMV, keep in mind, California and many other states issue legit driver's licenses to illegal aliens. The Texas DMV will allow you to register a vehicle if the only identification you show comes from one of these blue states that is issuing driver's licenses to illegal aliens. We are saying the official position of the state of Texas is, if you show up with a driver's license from a state that issues licenses to illegal immigrants, good enough for us. Give us your sign the paper, and we will hand you your paper. We are effectively, the state of Texas, the Republican supposed state of Texas, is in fact facilitating illegal immigration when we should be leading the fight against illegal immigration and for secure borders.
Yeah, and the governor of Texas has come out and said that 1 in 4 ICE arrests are actually happening in the state of Texas. If that stat is true, which it sounds like it's true, that's a really, really scary number. Now, I get it, right? They have to come through Texas for the most part. Yeah.
But it's a damning indictment of the manifest and abject failures of the state of Texas to be securing our own borders, to be securing our elections, and to be stopping all of the incentives, the magnets that are drawing, especially during the Biden years, but that drew millions of illegal immigrants into our country, many of whom are criminals, many of whom are terrorists, many of whom are cartel members. What an abject failure. And in fact, thanks to the Trump administration just a month or so ago, it's not theoretical anymore. We know for the fact that illegal aliens by the thousands, literally thousands, are on the voter rolls in the state of Texas. What an abject embarrassment of the colossal failure of the supposedly Republican leadership of the state of Texas that we have thousands and thousands of illegal immigrations that we know about, that we caught only because of an initiative by the Trump administration, by the way, not because of an initiative by the Texas state government, but because the Trump administration is taking this so seriously. Thousands of illegal aliens, they're not just getting registered to drive vehicles. They're being registered to vote in the state of Texas. And this madness has got to stop.
Yeah, it's crazy because when I was covering the story in New York, they were their green light law was allowing individuals who were not U.S. citizens to obtain driver's licenses, and they were easy to register them to vote. It was easy to register them to vote because there was a quick box that they had to check off. They wanted to automatically be added to the registry. So you expect it in places like New York, but you don't expect it in places like Texas. Again, it's quite the head scratcher that this happened in the first place. Before you go, Representative Harrison, I want to ask you about this because I quite often hear all of these empty threats from the governor, Greg Abbott, and it's quite discouraging that he continues to make them, but he issued a threat prior to Zoe Ramadani getting elected as mayor of New York City. This one, apparently he's saying that he promises to place 100% tariff on New Yorkers who are fleeing the Big Apple to move to the state of Texas. Now, obviously, that's going to catch a lot of headlines because most people who are from the great state of Texas don't want New Yorkers, unless it's me, of course, to move to the state. But this one doesn't really seem to make sense as to how he'd even implement this. It's just all hot air.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he hired a new social media intern who had a background in comedy writing. Okay, I have no idea. Nobody even knows what that means. I mean, at best, it's some kind of trolling tweet. But here's the thing. You want to be serious, Governor? How about you take to your social media, Governor Abbott, says that we've banned Sharia law in the state of Texas. That's an abject lie. You want to be serious? You want to do something real? Post this. Announce today, Governor Abbott, that you're calling the legislature back for a special session to actually ban Sharia law. Governor Abbott, you take to social media all the time and say that Texas has banned DEI. The reality is Texas might be the biggest funder of DEI in America. Call a special session so we can end DEI. Governor Abbott, you say we have banned transgender indoctrination in our public universities. I bet every single public university in the state of Texas is spending untold millions of dollars funding the transgender agenda and indoctrination of the next generation. Call a special session to end that. You want to brag about this constitutional amendment on illegal aliens voting in Texas? Call a special session and bring us back to pass any of the hundreds of strong election integrity bills that were killed by the Democrat-controlled, at least partly, Texas legislature. Those are the kind of tweets that would get me excited coming out of Governor Abbott, not some, you know, humorous, cutesy troll about an election in New York City that's going to have catastrophic repercussions, not just for people in New York, but all across the country.
Yeah. And, you know, you got a point there when it comes to they love saying that they want to ban Sharia law. But the reality of it is the Constitution already does that. So the argument itself is one that is questionable, I think. But if he was truthful about wanting to get rid of Sharia law, maybe he would stop using taxpayer money, according to the RARE Foundation, to send over to these mosques. The RARE Foundation, which is R-A-I-R, if you guys want to look it up yourself, put out a report saying that our own taxpayer money is going to several of these mosques that are preaching about things allegedly related to not wanting to or going after those who are non-believers ultimately. And this is deeply concerning. And again, they're raising this issue. Amy Meck is a great reporter over there who is the one who went through all of this. And again, I don't understand why in Texas your taxpayer money is going to a mosque.
No, she has amplified this, and I have worked with Amy. She's doing fantastic work. But here's the reality. Far too few elected Republicans have the courage to speak the truth about the threat from radical Islamic-affiliated Islamists and the rise of Sharia adherence, not just in the United States, but in Texas specifically. And my office confirmed, based on that reporting from Amy, my office independently confirmed that, yes, in fact, the governor's office doled out millions of dollars in grant money to these organizations that may well have terror ties and may well be advocating the violent overthrow of the United States of America. So not only are the elected Republican leadership in the state of Texas completely lying when they say that we have, quote, banned Sharia law. I'm in the legislature. We've passed no such law to do that, number one. Number two, we are absolutely funding many of these organizations that almost certainly have terror associations and are advocating for the violent overthrow of the United States. So that should be the absolute bare minimum, not one penny of the hardworking and overtaxed men and women of the state of Texas should ever go to a terror-affiliated organizations, and it absolutely looks like from the work that my office has done to verify some of Amy Meck's fantastic reporting that that is in fact happening in Texas, and those grants are being approved by the governor's office.
Yeah, that's really discouraging. And before you go, I wanted to ask you a quick question. I know this wasn't one that was planned, but since we're on the topic itself, yeah. I saw that Congressman Chip Roy has just recently, he went to the Blaze, and he's going to introduce something called the No Tax Exemption for Terror Act, which is expected to go after CARE, which is the organization which advocates, so they say, for American Muslims. And there's many who accuse it of having ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas, though. But he's looking yeah. to possibly pull their tax exemption. Is this something that you think has some legs on it?
Well, I hope it does. I fully support those efforts by my friend Congressman Chip Roy and others, because again, the bare minimum that should be happening here, this should not even be controversial, is that organizations like that should not receive one penny of tax. I mean, Texas, we got the highest effective property tax rate in the country. Literally true. We're taxing Texans out of their home and apparently to promote a radical leftist agenda, ideology, DEI, transgender indoctrination, corporate welfare, Hollywood, and as it turns out, grants to some of these very concerning Islamic organizations. So I hope this has legs and I fully support that.
Perfect. Yes. Well, it's good to hear that, of course, because we do as well. So thank you so much for joining us, Texas Representative Brian Harrison. It's always good to catch up with you. You shoot straight with us, and we are very grateful for that.
Always great to be with you, Brian. I appreciate the work you do educating not just Texans, but people across the country about the failures of the so-called Republican Texas government down here. So we Texans deserve freedom and liberty. We should be the number one state in America for liberty. We're not quite living up to that, and I appreciate your work exposing it.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm here for the fight, so we will make that happen. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate that.
Networks lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Please welcome to the show Congressman Keith Self. He's one of the very few brave members of our Congress who are calling out this Islamic takeover and looking to push back on that front. Congressman, I want to thank you for being here because you're working aggressively hard on co-sponsoring a lot of key pieces of legislation on a federal level. For right now, though, I wanted to get your take on what the governor just did yesterday in regards to the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE as well, designating those both as very alarming as potential foreign terrorist organizations. Your thoughts on this?
Well, as you said, that is a very important announcement. Now we need to follow up, because when you designate these organizations as foreign terrorist organizations, that gives law enforcement more tools to use against it. But frankly, we're going to have to see not only the government work, but I encourage Texans not to be intimidated, because that's what they do, is they intimidate just normal citizens. I always use the example of walking your dog down a sidewalk. If a Muslim tells you that you're offending him, then you have the right and you need to stand for your rights to continue to do that. So this is going to be an effort by citizens as well as government. You cannot depend only on your government. You are going to have to not be intimidated and stand against it. Having said that, important announcement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very important announcement. And I kind of wanted to highlight too, you know, we are very thankful for the Collin County judge, Chris Hill, who made the announcement of the rebranding that they're trying to do for Epic. And, you know, I sat there in his courtroom and watched it all play out. And I was very proud of Texans who not only showed up, but had an overwhelming amount of support, were relentless in making sure that their thoughts on all of this were heard. In fact, the courtroom itself wasn't able to hold all of them, and we needed like an overflow room as well, because so many people are concerned about this issue, and it's a very, very important one. And I know you just recently also endorsed Chris Hill as well, so this is all really, really important. But you've been hyper focused on getting this on a federal level. You've endorsed and co-sponsored several key pieces of legislation that I wanted to highlight as well. You're supporting obviously H.R. 4097, which is to designate CARE as a terrorist organization, as well as H.R. 4397, which designates the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. You're also, and we're going to talk about this in depth as well, the No Sharia Act as well is something that you are also trying to push forward as well. But I want to talk mainly about CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood, because they've been focused heavily by many in the independent journalism world as to they're threats. They're threats to those who cover them. I know a great woman named Amy Mack who covers them extensively, and they go after her. They target her. They do their very best to slander her, but they tout a very thin line between defamation and just being able to do just that. And it's pretty concerning. And this is the intimidation factor that you were just talking about. What's being done on the federal level to make sure groups like CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood can't intimidate Americans from coming forward and speaking freely on these issues?
Well, Chip Roy's bill that you did not mention, Preserving a Sharia-Free America Act, is important, because if you are a foreign national and you adhere to Sharia, then you're going to leave the country. Foreign national, not citizens, but foreign national of any sort. If you adhere to Sharia, you're going to leave the country, or you will not be allowed to come into the country. That's an important bill that we need to get passed. And then the Randy Fine bill that is that says that American courts cannot adhere to Sharia and take Sharia law into account is also an important bill. But again, this is all legislation. The people need to be aware of the great danger that we are in and participate in this. Support your elected officials that are going to be doing the heavy lifting, your law enforcement that's going to be doing the heavy lifting, and do not be intimidated.
Yeah, Congressman, you know, we sit back and watch what's going on in Dearborn, Michigan, and there's a mayor in Dearborn, Michigan, who is doing his very best to intimidate those, specifically Christians, who come forward and are looking to just voice their concerns about what's happening in Dearborn, Michigan. We've heard him say repeatedly that they don't want to assimilate, and most importantly, telling one, I believe it was a pastor, telling him that he can't wait for him to leave the city of Dearborn, Michigan, because he thinks that he's a plague pretty much to the city and to Muslims there. If we draft up all those pieces of legislation, like the ones that we've had so far, because there's a lot that you guys have brought forward so far, like you've mentioned the Preserving of the Sharia Free American Act, what can we do to go after these cities who are refusing to allow Americans, Christians specifically, to voice their concerns about, you know, the prayers that are being blasted at 5 a.m. in their cities? I mean, these Americans have concerns. This isn't a constitutional right at this point. These are people who are looking to assert their dominance here in the West.
Well, we need to be like Jessica Holsey, just stood up in front of the Josephine City Council and defended exactly what you just talked about. We are a Christian-based constitution directly from the Declaration of Independence. But to your point, there was a judge in Maine just recently that ridiculed Christian faith of a mother who was trying to raise her child in a Christian way. The ex-husband, the father, objected to it, and she sided with the husband. That is religious discrimination on the other side against Christians. So that's the other side of this coin. We cannot lose our Christian base, our Christian foundation, because all of our laws are based on a Christian worldview.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the reason why this country has been so successful, and we continue to push that. I also wanted to get your take on this. I know that you've been very outspoken in the matter of Obamacare, most recently obviously coming out and saying that you're ready for the subsidies to expire. Let's talk about that for a little bit, because I think a lot of Americans are floating the idea, since the president has also been very vocal about this, giving the money to the American people rather than these health insurance companies. Is that something you're looking to support, and how do we make sure that things like Obamacare never come about again? Because this has really been devastating for those who are looking to get quality health care on the market, but they can't seem to find it because these health insurance companies have taken advantage.
Look, it was one of the great things of the shutdown. The sunshine that is now on Obamacare is one of the great things of the shutdown, one of the few great things. But we now understand as a people that Obamacare had been a massive failure. We have piled subsidies on top of subsidies to try to keep this thing alive, Obamacare. We need to kill it now. We need to repeal it, or we need to substitute something for it so that we reestablish the doctor-patient relationship. And that is one idea, the one that you talked about, that's floating around. But the temporary COVID-era subsidies need to expire at the end of the year. And we need to find a solution that reestablishes the doctor-patient relationship, whatever we do.
Yeah, I know most Americans will support just that. Congressman, I want to thank you for joining us today, and thank you for putting up this fight. These are very key fights that we need to take on, and we need to be fearless when we do just that. We also look forward to hearing you speak in just a few moments on the House floor later today, so we'll bring that live to our audience when you do. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brianna.
Right now on thealexjones.com, you get buy one, get one free for any supplement. That includes our incredible ultramethylene blue, either the tincture or the capsules, as well as the Shilajit gummies, the colostrum plus, the bovine colostrum plus, the Irish sea moss gummies. I mean, there's a lot of really incredible stuff. I'm here in studio with Patrick Byrne. I know you're a big fan of the ultramethylene blue. Right now, that's buy one, get one free. All supplements, buy one, get one free. It's the Black Friday, came early, mega sale at thealexjones.com. Plus, we have a new deal. It's the Hat of the Month Club, where you can sign up and get a new hat every month, which is very fun. Of course, Christmas is coming up, folks. It'll be here before you know it. So do your Christmas shopping for the info warriors in your life. Patrick, you still all hopped up on methylene blue?
I am. I pilfer a bottle every time I come. You guys pay me in methylene blue. And right. when it's been more than 60 days since I've been here, I run out. I will absolutely notice within a few days. A few days, my life goes back to being a little more lethargic than I should, wanting to sleep in. And it's not like speed or something. It isn't something. It's just you feel healthier.
It's like a clean, smooth energy. It's not coffee where you're sort of jittery. It's just like, it's like putting super gasoline in your car rather than the regular stuff. It's subtle, but you notice it.
You do.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
No.
Canada's officially the dumbest f***ing country on the planet, and so are most of the Canadians that voted for this. I'm not even kidding. You guys are so dumb that you don't even realize the police chief is trying to tell you right now to lose all ability for your survival skills. That's the PSYOPs. So if you don't know what's going on, we had a guy break into a home in Welland, Ontario, and rape a 5-year-old child. He essayed a 5-year-old child while the parents were sleeping. And you want to know what's happened to him? Nothing. He's out on bail.
You just will not believe the depths of the stupidity coming out of Canada, Hamilton, Ontario, more specifically, in a country where crime is running rampant, criminals are running around with real guns and real bullets while the citizens are being disarmed, homes are being broken into left, right, and center. Now the city of Hamilton is saying you can't have security cameras on your own property.
There are 10 security cameras mounted outside of Dan Miles's Hamilton home. He says they've been a valuable tool for crime fighting.
I've actually participated in evidence sharing of 3 homicides on these cameras, over 40 break-and-enters, multiple home invasions.
So it came as a surprise when the city of Hamilton asked Miles to remove all of his cameras.
There's also updated advice for all vehicle owners, a message echoed by Toronto police speaking at an Etobicoke safety meeting last month. Constable Marco Ricciardi had a new message for vehicle owners who keep their fobs in Faraday pouches.
To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door. Because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. A lot of them that they're arresting have guns on them, and they're not toy guns, they're real guns. They're loaded.
Thank you, Chair. Chief Roskamp, is Canada currently releasing repeat offenders out on bail that are a threat to public safety?
I believe in some situations they are.
In Vancouver, just a couple years ago, there was a report that 40 individuals, prolific offenders, were responsible for over 6,300 incidents with police in just a small period of time. In your estimation, what percent of crime that's being committed in your community is being committed by a small number of criminals, repeat offenders, or individuals already well known to police?
I would say it is above 80%.
And while Eric over here is opposed to having people on house arrest, we do have to acknowledge the fact that our prison system is incredibly costly. Housing somebody within the prison system is a huge burden on taxpayers versus having them on house arrest, for instance.
And now, fast forwarding to 2025,
and the government's coughing up billions in settlements, papering over the festering wounds of dispossession in order to slice Canada up into fragmented provinces under a new world order.
Private ownership is in jeopardy.
A precedent that will flow from this case is that sections 23 and 25 of the Land Title Act do not apply to Aboriginal title. Those are not my words. Those are the judge's words, paragraph 3,551.
Another possible outcome of all of this land grab activity going on in Canada right now is that if this continues, what's going to happen is Canada's going to break apart in a very short period of time. We're talking a few short years, maybe. And Saskatchewan and Alberta are going to separate, and that will immediately be horrific for our already brutalized economy. And then the rest of Canada is basically up to the up for sale, up for grabs for the lowest bidder. And we'll either be scooped up by China or the United States. I would personally prefer the United States.
It's a floodgate for chaos, leaving now native Canadians wondering if their deed is just a fancy IOU to the ghosts of 1874 as they undergo a private land raping by the New World Order communism disguised as Prime Minister Carney's liberal Canadian politeness.
We should be taking into account the impact of our flying on the planet now. And that's
for pushing up the tax on flying.
You push up the tax on flying, you push up the cost on transport, and that's in part what putting a price on carbon is.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder. Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Welcome back to the American Journal, kicking off obviously the second hour of the program, and we're excited that you are all joining us on the American Journal. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thank you for spending your time with us. We're doing this kind of best moments on the American Journal, and we're highlighting some more key stories. So it just happens that a lot of these stories are going to be based on Islam and exposing what's happening right now in this country. It's an Islamic takeover, and it's important that we address just that. But before we dive into the details, I want to remind you all that we are doing our Black Friday sales right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. We're doing the buy one, get one free on all supplements while supplies last. So you're going to want to drop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop and stock up on all your favorites, because this sale will not last for much longer. Also, we're doing 25% off on all apparel as well. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. So now is the time to head on over to the Alex Jones store and stock up. All right, let's shift gears over to what we're going to be discussing in this hour, because this one's important. As many of you guys know, Father Calvin Robinson is someone who has immigrated from the UK over to the US. If you're wondering why, well, a lot of things have happened over in the UK that have many getting ready to flee. Number one, obviously, they don't believe in free speech, but most importantly, they have been taken over by Islamists. And there's no other way to look at it. What's happened right now is you see all of their politicians have sacrificed their people to Pakistanis and others. And so if you're someone who loves your country and doesn't want your children to be sexually assaulted, potentially your girls and your wives, you pick up and you got to go. You got to go. Calvin Robinson is a patriot, but he has sadly had to flee. But he's coming to this country, to the United States, to do us all a service. And if you're wondering what that service is, that is warning the American people as to what is up ahead if we do not get into this fight and prevent Islam from taking over our country. Throughout Europe, it has destroyed Europe. Young girls even know this. They can't walk around their streets anymore because there's barbarians who are running around and they're looking to attack because they view non-believers, women, as sexual objects. And their Quran doesn't condemn that level of behavior. In fact, it encourages it, as if it's a reward somehow. And they're doing their very best to take over. The idea here is to spread across the West, and it looks like they've conquered the UK. And here they are doing just that in the United States. We're seeing it obviously in Dearborn, Michigan. We cover that quite often on the show. And if you live in the state of Texas like I do, well, you're seeing it front and center. But most people don't even realize how bad things are getting because, and I keep reminding them, keep in mind, places like Plano, they stay within their little compounds. They own 400 acres now, and they don't go anywhere. And you could drive down these streets. They might try to stop you or surveil you or run your plates, but you're allowed to go over there and just take a look around. First, you'll notice that the street signs are named after Islamic conquerors. I'm sure that's a coincidence, of course. And then you'll notice that they have their own businesses, their own supermarkets, so they don't have to leave that little hub. That's why so many Americans don't realize how bad things are getting. Now, sadly, our politicians, just like the UK, refuse to step in with concrete policies to end this mass migration. We saw last week the State Department actually putting out a statement talking about mass migration, how it's affected those in the West. But what's being done? Well, how are we trying to block this? Well, not much is being done. Not much. In the state of Texas, we have a governor named Greg Abbott. He's been governor for quite some time now. He's actually looking for another term. And that's why you see Greg Abbott coming out in Texas and saying, oh, I'm going to ban Sharia law. We're going to add the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE onto a terror watch list or designate them as terrorist organizations, whatever he wants to say. The reality of it is he has been governor for quite some time now, and he's jumping on board because now all of a sudden Americans are waking up. That's why you watch InfoWars, because you understand the mainstream media will never cover it. But we will. So all across the country, especially in Texas, they are watching InfoWars, and they are being enlightened about the Islamic threat that's taking place right now in this country. Greg Abbott, though, is just starting to get enlightened. Now, again, they've allowed these foreign groups to purchase land here. And, of course, they're not going to be transparent and come off as the Muslim Brotherhood looking to purchase 400 acres. Greg Abbott saying that, oh, he's going to ban them from buying land. Well, that's great, Greg Abbott. That's really great. But what are you going to do to stop them? Because the Muslim Brotherhood is not sitting here and signing on the dotted line to purchase land here in Texas. They have an arsenal of attorneys, and they're not afraid to unleash them. We saw that at a press conference when CARE came forward and denied all of the allegations that they faced through Greg Abbott, and they're now suing because they don't want to be designated as a terrorist organization. But if you've spoken to people who have been on the legal side of CARE, you know that they have gone after these people like no other organization has ever. It's something that's worth pushing back on. It's something that's worth fighting for. This country is worth fighting for. And although I'll never tell you that you should burn a Quran, slap bacon on it, because that will probably put you at risk. We know that those who have done that, especially over in Europe, have been executed. In fact, one was killed on a live stream for burning a Quran. He was simply in his home when these Muslim terrorists invaded his home, broke into his home, and killed him on his live stream. So I'm not going to tell you to do that because I care for you. But I will tell you that now is time to speak up, because if you don't speak up now, we are going to lose this country. You have to inform your friends and family of what's going on here and challenge them. Tell them to go Google the Quran itself and find verses that tell them to go after non-believers, and you'd be enlightened. Calvin Robinson joined us on this program to enlighten us as to what's up ahead. Take a listen. We talked about a story in Dearborn, Michigan, not too long ago, and it was very interesting. I want to bring it back to the front of all of this, because it's very interesting, because the mayor of Dearborn, he was lecturing a Christian about coexisting, and he pretty much told this Christian man that he is not wanted in their community. Take a listen.
Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans. So I just feel that's quite inappropriate.
You're an Islamophobe. And although you live here, I want you to know as mayor, you're not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city, because you are not somebody who believes in coexistence.
You know, it's almost laughable when a Muslim man talks to you about coexistence. They have taken over Dearborn, Michigan, and it's heartbreaking to see the updates. It's heartbreaking to hear what's actually happening. And they just want the rest of us to just comply. They're not looking to coexist. They're looking to take over Michigan. And we have endless pieces of proof of just that. And the fact that they're going to be lecturing their own Christian residents to get out if they don't like it tells you all that you need to know. Joining me now to discuss is Father Calvin Robinson. He has been in this fight for quite some time across the pond and now bringing it to the United States. He is looking to push back because the United States is worth saving. And he understands that what's unraveled in the UK over the years is our future if we don't aggressively push back. So it is an honor to have him on today's show. Father Robinson, I want to thank you for being here. You know, you wanted to push back on that mayor. And so I saw you post on X yesterday that you made an appearance over the week. And sadly, he wasn't present during the, I believe it was the City Hall meeting. So walk us through that.
Absolutely. So I saw this clip that you showed where the mayor of Dearborn, Mayor Hamoud, told Pastor Ed, a Christian pastor, that he's no longer welcome. And actually, he went as far as to say, "I'll hold a celebration when you leave," which I thought was quite divisive of him, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Not very inclusive. And he put this big show on to say that you're Islamophobic because you don't support our idea of naming a street after Suleiman, who happens to be a supporter of Hezbollah. Now, I think any American or any Westerner, anyone who lives in Christendom would say, we don't name streets after terrorist sympathizers. It's quite a strange thing to want to do. But when you have an area that's run by a Mohammedan mayor, you kind of expect it. Anyway, this Christian pastor pushed back, and the mayor pushed him back, and I thought it was inappropriate. So I went down to the next City Hall meeting in Dearborn. I obviously live and serve in Michigan now, so I drove over there to the City Hall, and he wasn't there. I wanted to confront him face-to-face and speak to him in person and say, how dare you, in a Christian country, persecute and oppress Christians for speaking up for the truth in concern of you supporting terrorist sympathizers, renaming streets in a Christian country after a Mohammedan terrorist sympathizer is outrageous. Fortunately, there were a number of floor speeches that were fantastic that evening. One of them by a local Turning Point chapter spokesman called Noah Mullins, who spoke out to say, this is where I was born. As a Christian man, as an American man, I don't want to see what's happening over there in Britain happen over here in Dearborn, Michigan, where the Mohammedans essentially take over. There was a wonderful woman called Andy who spoke out and said, the call to prayer has been implemented across Dearborn. So they pray that Adhan, you know, that screeching they make five times a day. From 5:30 in the morning, they play that over loudspeakers into people's homes, into schools' playgrounds. And this Christian woman got up to say, not very happy with it, it needs to stop. The police chief, the DEI police chief, Shaheen, I think his surname is, said, oh, well, it's just the same as church bells, isn't it? They equate everything as if it's just, no, it's not just the same. To hear Christian church bells in a Christian country is expected, firstly. Secondly, it's not five times a day. Thirdly, it's not at 5:30 in the morning. Fourthly, it's not on loudspeakers. Fifthly, it's not blasted into people's homes and into school playgrounds. And it's this constant, oh, well, you must accept everything we do because it's a faith and all faiths are equal and everything's the same. It's not the same. Islam is clearly counter to Christianity. This is clearly a Christian country. And actually, they shouldn't try to take over.
Yeah, and that's the reality that they don't want to deal with, right? They came here. They wanted to live in our country, and we welcomed them because we actually do want to coexist with others. But it's not the same on their side of all of this. And, you know, you just cited the DEI police chief. I actually want to play clip 17 because it walks you through all of this. Take a listen.
The two or three violations that we have had in the last couple of years have been met with compliance as soon as we've talked to the religious institutions. It's no different than church bells that you might hear on Sunday.
Shame. Yeah. Okay.
The ordinance.
No outbursts from the crowd, please. Okay, folks, if you'd like to address the crowd, you can fill out a card and we can have you speak, okay?
The ordinance prohibits.
Yeah, that's no church bell. And it gets a little bit better because Alex Jones actually posted a video the other day online. And I want to play clip 18 for you a little bit because it tells you what really is going on in Dearborn and what these people who live there have to listen to. Take a listen.
Can you imagine waking up to that every single morning?
I don't even know.
And so in that clip, you can hear when the police chief is trying to say that this is okay, this is appropriate because it's just the same as church bells. You can hear me in the background saying, shame, shame on you for equating that. And of course, the president of the council tries to shut me down and say, if you want to talk, you can't interrupt, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is that this is not the same. This is foreign. It's actually worse than foreign. It's horrible noise and people don't deserve to have that noise pollution in their homes. But it goes against the city ordinance. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed loudspeakers to blast things out, whether it's for your faith or not, but because they are Mohammedan, it's allowed, isn't it? And it's all about this inclusivity and this diversity. And the police chief is the same police chief who says we need more Mohammedans, or no, he doesn't use that word, on the police force because it needs to be more representative of our communities. How about having people that are good at their job, that, you know, find criminals and arrest them? That should be your priority as a police chief, surely. Not what colour skin they have or what faith they have. It's absurd that they're just still jumping through these woke bandwagons when we have a president who said woke is dead. It's time to end it all.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the part here that's really critical because they don't want to end it all. And it's sad because, you know, I come from New York, and New York is also dealing with this kind of takeover as well. And they are blasting the prayer in certain parts of New York City. And very few people are pushing back on it. They're actually afraid to do just that. And it's sad because this would not be tolerated if it were any other group of people. We just tolerate it, though, because sadly, like we see in the UK, I think people just fear Islam, and they fear those who criticize will get attacked. And I think that's what people are so just quiet and compliant with all of this, is because they fear going out there and what the repercussions of all this might be. But there's a couple of people that aren't fearful. And I want to play this for you because Senator Tommy Tuberville, who we had on the show yesterday, after he left our show, he actually made his way to the Senate floor and he spoke about banning Sharia law, which I actually think isn't a thing anymore it's not a thing at all because Sharia law isn't something that you could actually implement here in the United States. But most importantly, he's calling out the genocide that's going on right now in Nigeria, which very few people are willing to say because Christians are being slaughtered by Islamic terrorists. Take a listen.
You also won't hear from Democrats about how radical Islamic terrorists are currently carrying out a mass genocide of Christians in Nigeria. Think about this. More than 62,000 Christians have been slaughtered since 2000 by radical Islamic terrorists in Nigeria. You heard that right, 62,000. And just this year alone, more than 7,000 Nigerian Christians have been murdered because of their faith alone. You can't turn on the TV without hearing about Israel's so-called mass genocide of Palestinians every day. And yet when it comes to 62,000 Christians being slaughtered by radical Muslims, it's radio silence. This extreme ideology is straight from the pit of hell, and it has no place in American society. We are blessed that freedom of worship is a constitutional guaranteed right in this country. That's what our forefathers fought for. If you want to come here legally, practice a peaceful version of Islam, and blend into our society by adopting the treasured American values of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you are welcome to do so. But if you believe that Sharia law supersedes American law, you should be deported immediately.
Now, we have a small group of politicians that are willing to speak out on this issue, Tuberville being one of them. He's running for governor in Alabama, too, right now. And groups like Hare aren't very happy with his open criticisms of their so-called religion. And so they have attacked him. But I wanted to ask you, Father Robinson, because you would know better than anyone else. You come from the UK. You've seen what's unraveled there because politicians were too weak to stand up for their country and stand up for Christian values. Why do you think it's really important for people like Tuberville and more to come out and speak out against this issue?
It's vital because if people don't integrate, they take over, they dominate. And at the moment, this was pointed out at the council meeting by a young chap called Ryan, in that at the moment there are Americans who are Muslim, but there are also Muslims in America. And there's a key difference. Anyone that comes to America should integrate into American culture and aimed, if they're going to become a citizen, they should become American. What you can't have is people who come over to America and bring their own culture, bring their own ideology, and want to implement that here. And we've seen it happen in my homeland, in Britain. There are 85 Sharia courts in Britain. So the Islamic law, Sharia, is more common in Britain than anywhere else in Europe combined. That's a lot of Sharia courts. And that means that they have their own legal system operating parallel to the law of the land. It should be illegal. You know, but for one example, polygamy has been illegal in the UK for a long time. However, Mohammedans come over to our land with a wife back home, and they come over and they marry another wife in Britain. Therefore, they're committing polygamy. Sometimes they bring their wives with them. Sometimes they've got three wives in the same house. And it's outstanding that we let them get away with this. But that's just the start of the slippery slope. The things that they do and enact are far worse. But the problem is, by their culture, by their own law, their legal system, it's allowed. And if we allow them to bring their own culture and their own legal system with them, how can we stop them? So at the beginning, when you invite these people in, you have to say assimilate or go home. Otherwise, your entire culture, your entire society is at risk.
Yeah, no, it is at risk. And sadly, I think most people don't realize we are walking a very thin line right now, and we need everyone's hands on deck in this fight. I also wanted to turn before you go to a topic that I know is clearly close to you. There's an archbishop in Canterbury, it looks like, who has now been brought in, and this is somebody who is supporting abortion. We've got her photo right now. She's supporting abortion. She is woke. She's a feminist, and she supports critical race theory. It's strange to see a female take on this role. Not strange. It just shouldn't be. But I know this is a topic that you've been sounding off on, so give us a little bit of insight on what's going on here.
I mean, you raised all the good points there in that a woman cannot become an archbishop because a woman can't become a priest. That's, well, by definition, that's a priestess. So we don't have those in Christianity. And that's not because we're sexist or misogynistic. It's because in Christianity, we realize that men and women are not interchangeable. Men cannot become women. Women cannot become men. Men cannot become mothers. Women cannot become priests. They are two distinct vocations, very God-called vocations that are important to our way of life. And actually, men and women complement each other. And the church has different roles for both. And so when we have women stepping into this role, what we have is transgenderism in the church. And indeed, there is an actual transgender archdeacon as well as the woman archbishop. So it gets worse and worse. But why is it a problem for her in particular? Well, I know Dame Sarah Malawi. She is the one who refused to have me ordained in the Church of England because I wouldn't subscribe to Black Lives Matter. And she said to me, the church is institutionally racist. And I was like, this is clearly woke. You're shoveling Marxism into the church. It has no place there. But she's come out and said, I'm not pro-life. We can't have a pro-choice or a pro-abortion Christian leader. It goes against the faith. She's pro-LGBTQ, saying that she believes in same-sex blessings, some of which are sexual in nature. Sounds like gay marriage. And again, something that can exist in the secular world, can't exist within the church. These things have meanings. To a Christian, marriage is a lifelong, indissoluble union between one man and one woman for the blessings of that couple, the community, and for the procreation to go forth and multiply. You can't do that with two men. You can't do that with two women. Okay? And these things are sinful in the eyes of God. He's called these things abhorrent, so we can't ask him to bless them. Likewise with abortion. The greatest genocide in human history. Women have killed more humans through abortion than men have killed in all wars, famines, and pestilence combined. That's how many people were killing since abortion was decriminalized in the 60s and 70s. It's absurd that we are living through the darkest ages in human history, and actually we don't even recognize it. And worse than that, we have Christian leaders who are enforcing and encouraging it. It's despicable. It's a disgrace. She should be gone. And anyone that supports that needs to be taught the truth of the Christian faith, that faith, hope, and love. We love every single human life because every life is sacred. Therefore, we can't promote Black Lives Matter because all lives matter. We can't promote abortion because babies matter, whether they're born or unborn. And we can't support same-sex marriage because marriage means something, a man and a woman in a lifelong indissoluble union. And so someone who's leading the faith that is going against all of that needs to be fired.
Yeah. I mean, it's common sense, but here's my follow-up on that. Because, you know, I've continued to travel around to cities, and I'm watching as these churches are putting these flags in their windows, these BLM flag, these LGBT flags. And I'm wondering, how do we even get to this point? Because I don't remember seeing this throughout my childhood, even going to New York City quite often. But now it feels like it's going, it feels like it's everywhere at this point. How have we gotten to this point where these churches are making these types of political statements and accepting the fact that men and men could get married and they could have surrogacy and they could have children? And it's not something that's anywhere in the Bible, or there's no actual map for any of this. And yet for some reason, they're misinterpreting the Bible and pretending like this is all acceptable.
It's very simple. People want to be nice people. They want to be compassionate. Yeah. And that's a good thing. But it's misguided in that we're not supposed to affirm people where they are. And the modern church wants to say, you know, God loves you as you are. You know, you're welcome as you are. And that's not true. God wants better for us. He wants us to stop sinning and become like him, right? And that's a lifelong task, a mission that we'll never perfect in this world. But it's something we're striving towards. And so when we leave people in their sin, we're leading them towards damnation, unfortunately. The Christian message is to sin no more. Christ spent time with all kinds of people, tax collectors and prostitutes, but it was not he who went away changed, it was them. And that's the Christian message we have to return to. We have to start teaching about sin. What is sin and why to avoid it and how to teach proper true love. And true love is, if you love someone, you want them to go to heaven. If you want them to go to heaven, you want them to stop sinning. Therefore, stop affirming people in their sin and start leading them to Christ.
Yes. Well, thank you, Father Calvin Robinson, for joining the show today. I think that's a really important message that we need to get out there. So I appreciate you joining us, of course, and you are an incredible fighter. Make sure you all give him a follow right now on X. It's at Calvin Robinson. That's at Calvin Robinson. We appreciate your time, sir. So thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you as well.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about...
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, TheAlexJonesStore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on, where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product because it has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a loss leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Alex Jones Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at TheAlexJonesStore.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars as we fight to stay on here, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. And again, I don't own TheAlexJonesStore.com. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there, be the news director, and we're going to continue on. And they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in, we could give out, is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. The Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates. You share them everywhere. You take the clips. You take the articles. You take the video links. And that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money so we sell you great products that really work. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high-quality food at reasonable prices. So you want to come back. There's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just... just got to come in and try the Ultra Methylene Blue or the Sea Moss or the other products and see how great it is. That's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWar has existed. It will continue on despite the a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And, yeah, they're striking back. And, boy, we're in the thick of a big war here, but you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this, the other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the info war. Take action now at theallyshowstore.com, and God bless you all.
Joining me now to discuss is Larry Taunton. He's the host of Ideas Have Consequences, and he's with us now. Larry, I want to thank you for being here, because this is a big topic. A lot of Americans, like myself, are really fired up when we see our former city. I mean, I'm a New Yorker. Get taken over by what we've been warning people about for far too long now, and that is this Islamic communist takeover that's sweeping both the UK, obviously, now has made its way here to the United States, and so many people thought it was just fear-mongering, but we're here now, and now Zohar Ramadani is making his way into the White House. Now, I've told people I don't agree with this. I think this should have been a phone call. Many people telling me, no, they disagree. This is good. President Trump should look him straight in the eyes and deal with him directly. What are your thoughts about this meeting that's going to be taking place in just a few hours?
Well, I think Donald Trump is a guy that has always believed that if he can get in front of an individual, that he can meet with them, that he can reason with them. And of course, that idea can be a bit naive, as we're seeing now with, with Putin and some of the things that have gone on there. But listen, President Trump, just as you just said, he's not a guy who's going to be pushed around. I don't think he has any illusions about Islam or about communism. And Mandani, listen, the Muslims have cracked the code on the West. Mandani is a jihadist, first and foremost. Now, the joke you didn't say, I suspect, is the one that immediately came to my mind when you mentioned that he was on a plane, and that is that he might just fly it into the...
You took our joke. That was the joke I was afraid to say on air. Yeah, they said, someone said, it's easier to hijack a plane than a train.
Well, it absolutely is true, and as we know, they have a penchant, for doing these kinds of things. But listen, Muslims realize, the jihadists realize, that the way to penetrate the West is not to come as Muslims. It's not to push that ideology, because they recognize that it's not a good marketing strategy. But they see the same polls that you and I see, Brianna, and that is that millennials and Gen Zers have a favorable opinion regarding socialism. And so that's the Trojan horse in which the jihadists are hiding, whether it's Ilhan Omar, whether it's Saqib Khan, or whether it's Mandani.
Yeah, and I just got actually a push alert notification that 86 Democrats right now in the House actually just voted in line with Republicans in condemning socialism in this country. And as many of us know at home right now, Democrats have been completely taken over. So that tells me that there's about 86 House Democrats who still have an ounce of patriotism and don't actually despise this country, which again isn't the majority, but here we are these days having to combat all of this. You know, as you just detailed too, they have, and you guys are so good at this, that was actually just came out from Fox a moment ago. I wanted to also highlight this too, Larry, because, you know, I sat back and have been for a very long time now trying to my best with others to bring the attention to this Islamic takeover that's coming to the United States. For years now, there are people like Amy Mack, We've watched Laura Loomer as well come out there and try to warn Americans that this was coming. And now we're here. Now we're dealing with this here on the front lines. What can Americans expect? Because we've seen it played out, obviously, throughout the UK and Europe, and it isn't really going well for them.
Yeah, exactly, Brianna. I think the template for them is London. Saqib Khan's London, which has radically changed. Listen, I was a student there, 30 years ago, and over the years, each time I go back, I find that it has increasingly become less English, less British. Now it's Londonistan. And that's the goal here for New York. This is the same strategy, by the way, that they're using all over the world. I've seen this in North Africa. I've seen it in Nigeria. I've seen it in Europe. I have seen it in the UK, and now we're about to start seeing it here in the United States writ large, and not just Dearborn, but now we're going to see it in New York.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really concerning, and I don't think people understand it. And, you know, I wanted to play this clip for you, clip 11, because everyone knows now I live in Plano, Texas. It's out there because I had to post a video and needed people to help me out with catching someone who followed me into my apartment complex. And it's a big issue in Texas. I've gone to the public hearing that just recently happened a couple of months back in regards to EPIC. Now, that's the East Plano Islamic Center. They have now rebranded themselves because EPIC didn't go over well for them when they had the word Islam in it. It caught a lot of attention and national attention thanks to the great work of Amy Meck and the Rare Foundation again. But they've done an incredible report, and they released it yesterday. I want to play clip 11 for you. It's a partial clip of what they just put out. It has to do with the mosque. It has to do with an individual who's telling the individuals at the mosque that, yeah, you can hit your women, your wives, but don't leave a mark and don't kill them. And that's their way of being empathetic. Take a listen, because they're going to tell you, oh, they didn't say that. Take a listen to their own words in this clip.
The latest shocking scandal out of Plano, Texas, straight into the heart of what is known as the Islamic Association of Collin County, the Plano Masjid. This isn't just a local mosque story. This is about what kind of ideology Texas is now willing to reward with your tax dollars. I'm talking about Imam Arsalan Haq. Born in Pakistan, Haq is a leading advocate of Sharia in the Dallas area. And in his own sermons, he spells out exactly what that looks like for women, for families, and for our communities. In one sermon at the Plano Masjid, Imam Haq tells husbands they may hit their wives as long as it's done in the proper context and only, quote, to bring her back to her senses.
Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does tell the husband to do a physical action of darb, which the ulama mentioned means to hit lightly without leaving a mark on the body anywhere with something like a siwak or something like that, or like a push or like a hit on the chest to bring her back to her senses.
Because Imam Haq doesn't stop at contextual wife beating. In another sermon at a different Dallas-Fort Worth mosque, Haq warns men that they may not beat their wives, quote, to the extent they die.
One of the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us to do in certain situations, and we don't have time to go into details, is to use physical discipline. Yes, the ayah is there to be used in the right way at the right time, but not to beat our wives to the extent that they die.
So we're being told that it's okay to beat your wives. Just don't leave a mark and don't kill them. People keep telling me when we push back on the Islam issue that this is not the belief of the Muslim population here in the United States. But then when people like this come and speak at their mosque, I don't hear any criticism about this. And the fact that the Rare Foundation is putting out this piece of evidence, this is what's going on inside of these mosques. By the way, Texan taxpayers, you're funding these mosques. We know that millions and millions of dollars has been shifted over thanks to Greg Abbott. Although he plays it down like he's not a part of any of this. Now he wants to pretend like he's pushing back. That doesn't seem to be the case when you look at the financial breakdown of all of this. But to get back to the core of this, When you sit here and you talk to Muslim Americans or those who have come to this country and are practicing Islam, they tell us that this is not what's actually going on, that this is a myth. But the Rare Foundation continues to find these videos online of their own live streams, and they use it against them by just posting it out there and letting people decide for themselves. Why is it that they cover up for all of this, but they seem to have no shame at talking about this at their local mosques? Larry?
Yes. I'm sorry, Brianna. My immediate reaction to that is to say this is really the mild stuff. This is the part that it would be very shocking to Americans. This is the really, really mild stuff. Islam is by definition misogynistic. Muslim men can, according to Islamic law, have four wives and countless concubines. Women have no rights. They are simply property. The things that we've been seeing with these rape gangs, these grooming gangs in places like Rotherham, other parts of the UK, as many as 250,000 British white girls have been trafficked, according to the Times of London, on an industrial scale. And people say, well, that's not real Islam. No, it is real Islam. Women are being sold right now as we speak on the Arabic version of the app For Sale, which is available on for download on the Apple App Store as well as the Google App Store. In spite of the fact there's been many complaints that this needs to be removed. And those Muslims in the United States who are saying this isn't real Islam, to me, and I say this somewhat tongue in cheek, they're like Methodists. I mean, they don't really take their holy literature particularly seriously. What we call radical Islam or militant Islam is really just Orthodox Islam. They're the people who are taking the Quran, the Hadith, and the life of Muhammad, which they are supposed to model themselves after, very, very seriously. And I want to point this out too, Brianna. What does scripture say? It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, I want you to compare that to what we're seeing here, you know, in these videos of Islam. This is the reality of Islam.
Yeah, and I think that's a big issue here because I don't think a lot of people like to talk about it. All you do is just do a simple Google search. I constantly am being told, Larry, by people who want to push back against it. And again, I welcome an argument, a debate about this topic itself because we need to have an open discussion on this without the emotions exploding. But the reality of it is time and time again, if you just simply Google, what does the Quran say about violence in regards to non-believers? It quickly pulls up over 100 verses that validate committing acts of violence against non-believers. And people don't want to come to that understanding that that's what it says. And I think it's more of just a cover-up rather than accepting the literature there. You could maybe debate that maybe 50 of them at best aren't directly issuing violent threats against non-believers. But the reality of it is we know also that the Quran allows for, we've seen many of these Islamic speakers go out to these mosques. And again, the Rare Foundation just keeps posting this stuff up, validating, capturing non-believers and using them as sex slaves. And it's okay because if they're not non-believers, then the Quran validates it. And they go out and they put these messages out there. And it's not a fear-mongering campaign because, truth be told, I don't mind coexisting with people of other religious beliefs. But this isn't a religion that I want anything to do with. In fact, I'd probably argue that this isn't a religion in the first place. This is not something that here in the United States anyone should want. And it's deeply, deeply concerning to me, you know. Larry, I know you spent some time in Egypt just recently, and I keep talking about the story, but I want to remind people I covered what happens in the UK, what happens throughout Europe in regards to women being followed by these men from the Middle East who their countries have now imported. And then suddenly I found myself on the receiving end of all of this. There was an Egyptian man who's claiming not to be Muslim, but he somehow made his way into this country. And he told law enforcement in Plano, Texas, again, which has been conquered by this mass migration movement through H-1B visas and everything else that's gone on over these last few years. But he told police that he thought I was attractive and wanted to follow me. And as you can see, again, police wouldn't help me. As you see in this footage, though, he followed me into my apartment complex, not saying anything to me, though, followed me for over a block and a half running behind me, and then waited until I got into my building to try to confront me. He has since been arrested, but it was only because I threatened to sue the Plano Police Department, who didn't want to hand me this footage and wanted to dismiss it. But it's not just me who this has happened to with this individual. He has also, by the way, admitted to following me into my building and trespassing, although I believe he's entered a not guilty verdict so far in the courts. But it's not just me. Another woman, after seeing this video go viral, also told me that in the Frisco, Texas area, that she actually has had brush-ups with him, that five times he's followed her and has gone into her place of employment. She manages a spa, and he went in, and he won't leave, and he's creepy. He talks about his sex life to her. And, in fact, she went into the Plano Police Department again after she saw my footage to put this on their radar as well, that she is another victim of all of this. And the Plano Police Department told her to leave. Now, the reason why I keep bringing this stuff up, because this isn't just happening in the UK, in Europe. This is happening here in the United States. This is happening in Texas, out of all places. The only way I got him out of my building was because I pulled a firearm on him, and then he quickly ran out the building and admitted that to police. But the reality of it is here. I want you to talk about this because you travel. You've been to Egypt. These men who we are importing into this country do not understand boundaries. They see us as prey, and they are preying upon women who are in this country, natives of this country. Why is stuff like this so custom for them? Like, they're just okay with this. They think this is okay behavior and acceptable behavior, when in fact those who live in this country know it's not.
Well, exactly. Let's pick up with a thread of something that you just said, Brianna. You said that you're not sure that it's even really a religion, that it's more of an ideology. Well, that's exactly the case. And you see, many Americans are uncomfortable with the idea of suppressing religion. And so because this is being imported under that, under the guise of that, Americans have been indoctrinated with the idea of religious freedom. But we're actually talking about here an ideology of conquest, and one that is not simply, you know, incompatible with our way of life. It's incompatible with our laws. When Islam is lived according to the Quran, according to the Hadith, according to the model provided by Muhammad, it is absolutely antithetical to our laws. They don't believe in freedom. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They're anti-Semitic by definition. By definition, they do not believe in religious freedom. They don't believe in any of these things. So the kinds of things that you're talking about experiencing, I've seen this video, you've shown it to me, and it's quite horrifying. This guy following you into your building. This is the kind of stuff that is happening all over the world, except usually the outcome is very, very different than the outcome that you had. And that is because Islam teaches that this is okay. It says that unbelievers, that non-Muslim women, that they are spoils of war, and that rape, that misogyny, that abuse, sex trafficking, all that stuff is okay. That it's all okay. And this is the part that Americans do not get about this religion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's deeply concerning. And again, he's claiming to be actually not Muslim, but he somehow got into this country. And I'm trying to figure out how continuously, because we know a lot of these individuals who potentially, and I don't know if he's seeking refugee status or what his status is. I've asked DHS repeatedly. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten any information on this. But just from speaking from experience and the stories I've covered and not applying it to this gentleman, Harvey, that you see here on your screen, I know that when they come to this country, they tend to lie, and they think it's okay to lie to get in. So I truly don't believe he's claiming to be a Coptic Christian. I don't see that here, especially after my interaction and several other women who have contacted me about him as well. So it's something we need to keep our eye on. You know, I keep telling women to find a way to defend yourself. Carry if you can. If you live in a state where you're allowed to, go to the range, shoot as much as you can. We need to be the ones to take our own protection into our own hands, because when you go to law enforcement, they won't do just that. Everyone seems to be afraid here, and it's really quite an absolute disgrace. To our audience, I want to remind you all that Larry hosts a great show over on YouTube, so give him a follow. Ideas have consequences. You do an incredible job at outlining a lot of great different topics, topics like these, of course, and you catch the attention of people who I say don't like what you have to say, but they're people that are enemies of this great country and the movement that we have started. So, Larry, you're doing a great job. So I'd highly recommend our audience go head on over to your YouTube page as well as your Twitter and give you a follow. Larry, thank you for joining me today. It was an honor to have you on the show, but we look forward to having you back as well.
Great to be with you, Brianna. Take care.
lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion.
I wanted to speak about Islam because it's very easy for us to do the classic, and I think that's what they want us to do, divide and conquer. And the problem is that people are confused. They think this is about religion. This is about authoritarian versus a libertarian existence. That top horizontal bar is the lie that we've been told, that there is far left, far right, and in the middle is, you know, democracy. When in fact, what it is it's socialism in the middle. So they've lied to us and they've made us think that there's this thing called far left, which is supposed to be very different from far right. It's a lie. What is true is that the real, you know, spectrum is from total government to anarchy. And constitutional republic is just slightly below anarchy. It's where we have liberty and freedoms, and we live in Christian countries under the idea that we are given inalienable rights.
Loads of people call me racist for going to these, but I just want to be able to feel safe in my own community, and I just want to be able to walk the streets like my dad and my mum used to without a worry.
Dr. Mukaddam, what is the penalty for apostasy?
If it's an Islamic country, then the Sharia is very clear. Apostasy is dealt with the death penalty.
Thank you. That's all I want to hear.
He plays his games. We play ours.
They create this fake paradox of political systems. Is something totalitarian or is it libertarian?
If we start going Islam, is evil and they're all, barbaric and cruel and they're awful to women and blah, blah, blah. We're just going to get into the divide and conquer. What I think we can differentiate that any religion...
Islam is totalitarian.
Yeah, any religion that's totalitarian, we don't want.
There's no big organized Christian movement that's going to put beekeeper suits on women and enslave them and do all this exactly. So we have to recognize, where is the real totalitarianism in religion right now? It's Islam.
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers?
This is a concerted effort by a group of human beings who are authoritarian, who wish to conquer the entire planet. What we're talking about here is a lower frequency of existence. And we can all imagine, like, you know, when the Aztecs would be like sacrificing people and the Druids were sacrificing little children. These are low states of consciousness. I mean, murdering people in order to placate some vicious god.
Allah promotes violence against the Jews, against the Christians, against the kafir, the unbeliever. Openly, Allah himself is telling the Muslim people to go and kill them with violence. And it's like you're doing favor to God, like you're doing a supernatural, amazing thing by killing your enemies. And the exact opposite is in the Bible, where Jesus comes, Isa comes and says, forgive your enemies, love them, bless them, take care of your enemies. So it's such a huge contrast.
The West goes to empower women, and then somehow the globalists get women to double back to go to the most Stone Age thing there is.
According to the Sharia, again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to the half of the body.
So know this, that Islam will enter every house. Every house.
If we fail to acknowledge that what we're witnessing with our eyes, what we're hearing when they say, Muslim, we're going to take over America, everybody will be a Muslim, we'll be in every home. The reason why I keep banging on about this is because I want to save us from falling into the trap of divide and conquer. I know that there has to be Muslims out there that understand what I'm saying, that move to America precisely because of the libertarian construction of the American society. Everything that Christ
said to us, it's all about love. And love ultimately is the act of wisdom to know that if somebody is behaving terribly, you can't counteract it by being equally terrible.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra Methylene Blue and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is supposed to be a shutdown. They have a state receiver. Said it'd be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Jones Network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide.
We're here, folks. I mean, this is it.
Unrestricted warfare is without bounds. That is what we are in the midst of right now, and everybody needs to understand that.
There's one variable in this fight. It's you. Do you share the articles, the videos, the reports? Do you download the free app and share it? Do you buy the products? I mean, you're crazy, literally. Do you think I tell you bovine colostrum, great skin, great hair, great libido, so we got the best? Did I just say that? Think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't work? You think I tell you Ultra Methylene Blue is incredible game changer? Be careful with it. It's really strong. You think I'm just saying Irish sea moss is great and does all these amazing things? No. You hear the callers. It changes their lives. My information is cutting edge because I don't want to be the liar. I want to be the guy that's right. I enjoy it. I don't lie about freedom and people and things that matter. I cannot do it. And I'm telling you, our products are kick-freaking-ass. They're the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want. That's why it's different. Normally it's buy one, get one free, the same thing. You can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. These are expensive supplements. We have the best, the strongest, the turmeric, all of it. It is the best. Energize me. I am in total commitment against these people. I am waging war against the most disgusting filth ever. And all I ask for is that you empower me in this war. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
This hat and sweatshirt were the perfect gift. Thanks. This is an important message from InfoWars. Stay informed. Stay free.
Hey, thanks. I love my new InfoWars shirt, bro.
My new InfoWars gear keeps all the globalists and goblins away. Black on black, murdered out shirt. Love it.
I love my new sweatshirt. And this methylene blue really rocks.